Tomorrow's News Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, May 20th, 2024. The New York jury in the historic show trial asked to have the instructions read to them again. They were confused, so was the whole world, and the judge reissued in the same way. You don't have to find unanimously he committed a crime. You can all pick different crimes and just say he's a criminal. Top lawyers, both liberal and conservative, have chimed in. They say that's completely illegal and absolutely unprecedented in English common law, in U.S. law. It is unbelievable. He's not putting his thumb on the scale. He's putting his tyrannical fat ass on it. And President Trump has come out and just destroyed it. It's all coming up. We're simulcasting on X Spaces. Come in 30 minutes. We will, as people fill the space, start taking your live comments and speakers on air and so much more. We have guests in studio, lawyers coming on, you name it. I'm thinking the verdict comes out sometime today. Maybe tomorrow, because they want to have a long weekend to hide. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and go to what President Trump said this morning, calling the judge a corrupt crook, which is what he is.
Thank you very much. Here we go again. 5 weeks. I've been here on gagged. I'd like to answer all of your questions. They're very easy questions to answer, but I'm gagged, so I can't talk as much as I would like to about this ridiculous case that's hurting our country so badly. Some of the reviews from yesterday are the... And by the way, everyone's against this case. I haven't seen one legal scholar or expert in the law say that this case should have been filed. It should not have been filed. Or at a minimum, it should have been filed 7 years ago. 7 years old, everybody turned it down, including federal elections turned it down. Southern District turned it down. Brand turned it down. Then he rejuvenated it when I was running for office. It's a terrible thing. At the request of Biden, the editors of the National Review say, acquit Trump. Bragg has failed to prove his charges. Totally failed. Greg Jarrett, who exactly was defrauded? Voters who had already voted. Well, they already voted because all of the stuff came in after the election. So how were they defrauded? And then you say, what about Hillary with the dossier? What about all of these other things that go? And this is nothing. This is nothing. But what about all of the corruption, the voter fraud that you've seen over the last year on behalf of the Democrats and nobody talks about it? This is ridiculous what they're talking about. This is called running for office. Rick Jarrett, the government, which received full payment on all taxable income. The government, by the way, received full payment. The taxes were paid in full. In fact, they make comment on that. Even if the taxes were paid in full, the Federal Elections Commission had concluded the money paid did not constitute a campaign contribution under the law. And remember, this judge wouldn't allow us. Look, he's a very conflicted judge. Everybody knows that. You don't want to talk about what the conflict was. I'm not allowed to talk about it because of a gang order that he put on me. So one subject he really doesn't want to talk about. There was no fraud. There was no conspiracy. It's that simple. Moreover, without a primary crime, there can be no secondary crime. It's a classic lawfare, weaponizing statutes, because the law has been, okay, ready? Because no law has been broken. That was Greg Jarrett. Eli Honig, legal analyst for CNN. The crime here is not easy to explain or to understand. It's just not understandable. In other words, there is no crime. This is CNN. Catherine Christian from MSNBC, I call it MSDNC, legal analyst. It's difficult because it's a very nuanced argument. It's never been prosecuted before. This is an argument that has never been prosecuted.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the conclusion of a 7-minute statement. We come back and then liberal, conservative, top analyst judges are weighing in saying this has never before been done. These people are absolute insane criminals that are completely desperate and are running scared. I'm Alex Jones. This is the InfoWar. Follow me on the Mighty X at Real Alex Jones. Stay with us. Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it.
We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil.
Thursday, May 30th, 2024, and you're listening to the most censored, attacked broadcast in the world, The Alex Jones Show, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting worldwide, dauntlessly in the face of tyranny. 158 days, 12 hours, 53 minutes, 30 seconds to the most important election in world history. The UN treaty to take over our bodies, World War III with Russia, the border completely collapsed. Our major pipelines and energy and food supplies being cut off by the New World Order. But humanity's waking up fast and taking action, and we are at the very tip of the spear, ladies and gentlemen, coming in like a hurricane of truth against the globalists.
Rock you like a hurricane.
Yes. Ha, ha, ha. You can feel liberty rising. All the tyranny is a response to the Great Awakening accelerating now. The epic time we live in could not be overstated. Ready to win. Because we are rocking like a hurricane. And our attacks only make us stronger and only certify us as the rebels fighting for a pro-human future.
Here I am.
We are simulcasting on X right now at Real Alex Jones, both video and in X Spaces. We have speakers coming in by the thousands, and at the bottom of the hour in T-minus 22 minutes, we will start going to your comments on one big subject that's so huge, the total weaponization of the judiciary, not just here but across the Western world, the nakedness of these criminal and civil cases, and now, out of all of the incredible oppression, out of all the incredible kangaroo courtism and railroading that we've witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, in show trials, the judge yesterday in jury instructions, we read them on air, we've got them again. I just saw it right before I went on air. I said, well, I'm not a lawyer, but you're supposed to unanimously agree on the criminal charges if you're convicting. You can't say there's 30-something charges and you can, you know, not all agree on each of those charges. That's like saying that fish don't live in the water it's like having a football game with no football team. I mean, it's such a massive fraud. And it's now stunning Democrat, Republican analyst, legal analyst in the UK. It all comes out of English common law. You've got to have the jury on each charge unanimously agree on that. You can't sit there and say, well, if you just all think he did something, even though it's not really listed here, you can then still convict. That's the judge not putting his thumb on the scale, but putting his wart-covered petunia ass on it. This is incredible. We already played part of Trump's statement this morning. We're going to play the conclusion where he calls the judge basically a corrupt crook. And then I've got legal analyst analysis, and then we're going to start We've got lawyers coming on, Robert Barnes, Viva Fry, got a bunch of other people lined up to be joining us, people in studio coming up. But we're going to be taking a lot of X's, spaces, comments from you again coming up in 20 minutes from now. We're simulcasting my syndicated radio/TV program that's been on air 27 years of syndicated radio. I've been on air 30 years total, but we love adding new things like the X Spaces. And it's great to have you all joining us there. I hope everybody on X repost and retweets the live video feed of the show and the X Spaces as well. And we look forward to speaking to you coming up as speakers. Let's go back to what Trump said this morning.
And hopefully they'll never be prosecuted again. Andy McCarthy, this is anything but standard. It's the antithesis of standard, actually. The idea that they do not have to agree on what the other crime is. We spent 6 weeks wondering, what is the other crime? What is the other crime? And at the end, the thud we all get is this. There's three or four of them, and you could pick one from the other, and they don't have to agree on anything. And what he's saying is it's so corrupt. Nobody's ever heard of anything like this. It's called pick 'em. It's like the lottery. Pick 'em. You pick 'em. And you don't have to be, even though in a criminal case you have to be unanimous, you don't have to be. Just give a couple of votes. Because the judge, unfortunately, is corrupt. Judge Jeanine Pirro, no one has heard of this. It's like it's a menu column A, B, or C. You don't have to agree on it. This is a kangaroo court. This is unheard of. I've never seen anything like it. I've done this for 32 years. I'm not a federal prosecutor or a state prosecutor, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a federal judge. I'm a county judge, just like Bershia. This is New York law, and this is my wheelhouse. He is 100% wrong. He's wrong. That's what Jeanine Pirro, very good woman, very smart woman. Jonathan Turley, this is becoming a three-card Monte game on where is the crime? Smart guy, where is the crime? Mike Davis, the U.S. would sanction a country for doing this. I think that's good. I think that's good. Steve Hill, it seems that every single day these proceedings go on, the judge and the prosecutor just go out of their way to prove Trump's point. And I guess he is, but they are proving my point, what do you think? That's why I write some of these things that are very sad. Mark Levin, this Stalinist-like case, it's a Stalinist-like case. It has prevented President Trump from running for office. It has prevented him from campaigning. He's unable to campaign because he's been in a courthouse for 5 weeks. And yet we just had a poll came out, NPR. Trump's 54, Biden's 42. And that's with independents. That's the best we've ever had. They said this is the single best poll that Trump has ever had with independents. Trump's largest lead among independent voters, NPR Marist College, 44-28. And Junior is way down, way, way down. But it's 44. Junior is extremely liberal. By the way, he's extremely radical left. I think you know that. But he seems to be hurting Biden probably a little bit. So that's it. It's a disgrace. The millions and millions of dollars that are spent daily on this case, outside it looks like it's Fort Knox, like they're guarding this. I've never seen so many policemen. Now with Columbia University, you can plant a tent right in front of the main door, no problem. NYU, just put your tent up, don't worry about it, over here. But I just want to say that this is a very sad day for America. The whole world is watching, and it's a very sad day for New York. I've gone through two of these trials already. It's a very, with the same kind of a judge. It's all worked. It's all rigged. The whole thing, the whole system is rigged. Judge Engoron was overturned 5 times in my case, and he's going to be overturned again. And we were treated very, very badly. And the outside world is watching, and the outside world is just not going to bring their business to New York. And that's going to cost the city trillions and the state trillions and trillions of dollars. Businesses are leaving, and people are fleeing. So you can see the courts yourself, and thank you all very much. We'll come in later on in the evening, but we'll be here. It looks like a long time. Thank you.
Are you scared? Are you scared you're going to be headed down? What do you think of the jury so far?
Do you trust the jury?
He's got a bush.
The Duke arrives. You know the feds are spying on that jury. You know they're talking about not convicting Trump because they can't find a crime, even in New York. That's why the judge put his ass on the scale yesterday and said, you don't have to unanimously agree on any crime here. Just, you can all have separate crimes you think he did. No, on each count, they've got to be unanimous. Again, this is the most illegal thing I've ever heard of. Almost like judges finding me guilty in Texas and Connecticut in coordination with an HBO production that ran the trials and ran the script where we couldn't talk about how we were innocent or anything. But people still expect a trial, so they had a trial on damages and then wouldn't let us show any financial info. And they said I had secretly $400 million, and I was in the hole at the time they said that and never, never had more than $5 million. I mean, this is just, when I got the Bitcoin donation, $9 million, I put all of it in. And remember they said in the court in Connecticut, they go, we're going to go to the feds. You're perjuring yourself right now, Mr. Jones. You kept the Bitcoin money. I said, well, it was given to me. I could have, but no, I could have run to the Bahamas, but I put it all in to save InfoWars. That kept us on air for several years. And, of course, it all came out in court, in federal court, that I did. I kept $25,000 for myself. So, again, and that's what I said on the court. I said, I think I bought some software for myself personally, $25,000. So that's the type of stuff that goes on here, ladies and gentlemen. And when people saw that, they totally turned against him on YouTube for both my show trials, so they stopped comments because 99% were against them. Now, that was 2 years ago. People now really get what's going on. And if they can get away with this with Trump, they can get away with it with anybody. Now, here's Senator Ted Cruz, who is the top of his class, unlike Joe Biden, who said he was. He was the bottom of his class. Here's Ted Cruz explaining what's happening, and then we've got NBC senior legal correspondent is saying that it appears that this is a rigged trial, and then another expert, Doug Burgum, every American should be concerned or scared if you can take a business filing records case and magically turn it into 34 felonies. Let's play those clips back to back.
Listen, Sean, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is the exchange you were just having with Jonathan Turley is exactly right. We now know to a virtual certainty that no conviction will be upheld on appeal, that the judge today committed, I think, clear reversible error. These jury instructions were nonsense. Now, here's the bad news. The bad news is this has been a kangaroo court from the beginning. This is a wildly partisan prosecutor who hates Donald Trump, who came with a political objective of going after Donald Trump. And we now know from these jury instructions that this judge is every bit the partisan that the prosecutor is. And he knows this is reversible error. As you noted, Ramos versus Louisiana clearly held in 2020 that every element of the crime must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, must be unanimous by the jury. And yet this judge says it doesn't matter, not in New York. The Constitution does not apply in New York, which means if we get a conviction, it will be reversed on appeal. But the judge doesn't care. The prosecutor doesn't care. Nobody cares because this is not about law. This is not about criminal justice. This is about politics. This is all about the press conference, the national address that Joe Biden is scheduled to give from the White House where he gloats, we've now convicted Donald Trump. This is all about November. We are watching election interference. This is the most blatant case of election interference that we've ever seen in our country's history.
I got them. These are the instructions that the jury has to follow in Donald Trump's hush money trial before they can reach a verdict. 53 pages. This is complicated. This is lengthy stuff. It took the judge over an hour to read it. But guess what? The jury doesn't get this in the room during deliberations. They have to write questions, they have to write notes, but they don't get these instructions. In New York, both parties have to agree and the judge has to agree. And in this case, it didn't happen. They don't have this in the room right now.
I mean, every American should be concerned. Every American should be afraid or scared because if you can take a business filing records case and magically turn it into 34 felonies, I mean, I asked myself as a business person, I said, Why isn't the courts in New York filled with CEOs? There's tens of millions of business records filings that have gone on in the last 7 years in that city. This is the only one where they've taken the CEO of a company and said, oh, we think this might be a felony charge. We're going to bring you in court for five weeks. I mean, there's not enough capacity in the judicial system. That's why these things are misdemeanors with a statute of limitation for 2 years. And here we are 7 years later trying to manufacture something out of this thing. And so, yeah, whatever comes out of this thing, the whole thing has been a travesty of justice. And I think that's what the American people see.
The Democrats passed a law in New York so that E. Jean Carroll could go make up her story about Trump. And then when Trump said he was innocent, they found him guilty, not of raping a woman, but 25-plus years ago, supposedly, saying he's innocent, defamed her. And the Democrat that offered the bill has now had a woman say that he raped her and is using the bill against him, and he's now saying the bill is unconstitutional. See, they dig a pit for us, and then they fall into it. Because they're mad dogs. Trump's put out a campaign ad dealing with the weaponization of the judiciary. Here it is.
Thank you for joining us here today. Earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump was arraigned by a Manhattan grand jury. 34 felony counts.
This case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years to try to come up with this case. They're just wrong on the law.
The only crime that Donald Trump is being prosecuted for is the crime of running for president.
Political persecution at the highest level.
They've quite frankly given up on trying to beat him at the polls. Either going to steal it or stop it by law firm.
A Democrat prosecutor elected on a Get Trump platform.
What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace. It is war on Trump. It is war on the Republican Party. And it is a war on a republic.
This case is the weakest case I've seen in 60 years of teaching, practicing, and writing about criminal law.
I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump.
This judge, I mean, you don't need a prosecutor if you have a judge like this. This judge is not on the level.
It's a terrible case, but the judge has been pretty much a rubber stamp on everything that Bragg has wanted to do.
They're perverting the system of justice. You know, and that's where the danger lies. The corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
This is the Democrats' entire strategy to confine President Trump to a dirty criminal courtroom and keep him off the campaign trail where he can bring his winning message to voters across this country.
New York has become a legal banana republic. They are so determined to get Donald Trump.
Look, convicting Donald Trump, that's all they have.
I think they have no cards, and they're depending upon Trump getting convicted.
That Trump train doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
The only verdict that matters is the verdict at the ballot box.
The establishment is hated. Congress has a 9% approval rating in the high polls, 6 in some of the other polls. On average, it's 9. The corporate media has a 9% approval rating. Look it up. Just type in media more hated than Congress in polls. And then they think having rigged trials will then convince somebody that somebody's bad when they're experts in Austin, Texas, and New York City, and Washington, D.C. That's the three big places, and a few in Connecticut where they own the courts and where they manipulate the juries, to then stage these operations. But people see through it, and they know what's going on. So what's their answer? World War III, total insanity. Now, some meme makers put this out, and I posted it on Real Alex Jones on X. And it's just so well done that I really don't know what to say. It's politically incorrect. That's what we're all about. You know, they tell you don't use the word retarded, but the left, all the world, wants to euthanize Down syndrome people. So I love Down syndrome folks, and I don't want to euthanize them. So you notice they say don't use a word that hurts somebody's feelings, but then they actually want to kill them. Here it is, introducing the mentally retarded, but they're not Down syndrome. They're the Democratic Party and Mitt Romney. Here it is. The Democrats of America, a special report.
Usually, the mentally retarded are divided into classifications. The educable, the trainable, and the custodial. Obviously, we can only assess the abilities or potential of the mentally retarded on an individual basis. Seemingly random motions and movements are fairly common among the custodial retarded, and they may take many forms. Sometimes there are motions which seem to have no meaning whatever, and may even cause unintentional self-inflicted injuries. The vast majority of the mentally retarded are intelligent enough that they can be taught a great many things. However, there's a wide range of ability, even among those considered educable. And their ability to learn obviously varies according to their level of intelligence. Equally important is a stimulating environment. However, we must remember to set realistic standards that are not too high for the individual. Many of the trainable retarded can learn to take certain kinds of household responsibilities, some of which may be more complex than they are usually given credit for. It would be wrong to expect a mentally retarded person to become a master craftsman. The standards are too high. But even in the skilled trades, for example, the mentally retarded can be trained to become valuable assistants. Who are the mentally retarded? They are people. They come in both sexes and in all sizes, shapes, creeds, and colors. Wherever people live, there also live the mentally retarded.
Well, I'll tell you who the mentally retarded are. That is a master meme. They're an establishment that was given their power from the establishment that stole power, and who are arrogant and don't see that everyone's turning against them because they're politically retarded. And that's what we're dealing with here. And they're getting control of the nuclear weapons and commanding troops in the field. Putin 3 days ago said, all right, you're moving nukes up. You're giving heavy weapons to hit Russia. You're already bombing Russian cities. We're going to start bombing in the near future NATO bases outside Ukraine. And if you strike back, we're going to hit with nuclear weapons. Old Hitler thought he'd beat the Russians, and he did kill 26 million of them, but he didn't. The Russians are going to pull the trigger, folks. And I'm sad for what's going to happen in that process. Because a lot of good people are going to be killed, along with the Democrats who are mentally retarded. They're certainly spiritually mentally retarded. We would never put up with Russia putting troops on our border and overthrowing Mexico and putting the puppet regime in and firing missiles into and hitting Dallas, Texas. Russians did that, the nuclear war, like that. But that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. That's where we are. All right. We are doing a simulcast with my syndicated radio/TV program and Infowars.com/show and band.video with the Real Alex Jones channel. Please follow us there on X with a video feed and on the X Spaces with speakers coming up. The Great Taste Geyser's running the speakers button. He's got control of that panel like a phone board, but it's an audio board for X. He's coming in. Elon's going to add video soon. We hear that's great. We're ready to do it. We got a bunch of guests coming up as well. Lawyers, you name it. Revolver expert, Trump advisor, Professor Beatty. It's all coming up today. Stay with us. Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge, because there's not much markup in these, because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now, and I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the New World Order's coming. It's here.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
First of all, everyone, please put on your masks and keep your distance. Some of us are really weak and fragile, and I don't know why they made this podium so high. I told them I'm coming straight from the bathhouse and didn't have my platform shoes with me. I'm speaking to you today because I'm a scared little man. A washed-up actor with lots of skeletons in my closet. I need Joe Biden in power. Not because he's any good, but because he enjoys the same sick perversions we do. Lots of dipshits think I'm smart because, you know, I used to be able to memorize lines, but cock my head to the side and squint with a New York accent. In reality, I'm just a mook. M-O-O-K mook. I'll be honest, Donald Trump scares the living shit out of me. I've always been jealous of him. He's a real man and true New Yorker. He walked the walk, talked the talk, and like Sinatra, he did it his way.
I, on the other hand, only pretend to be tough and powerful on a movie set. If Donald Trump was in front of me right now, I'd punch myself right in the face, get down on my hands and knees, and beg to blow him. If Trump gets reelected, sickos like me will be permanently banned from the circle of trust. I'll be stuck pumping blue milk from Mark Hamill's tits in a gay porn parody of Meet the Parents. I'm begging you, vote for Joe Biden so I don't shrivel up and die.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live, simulcasting on hundreds of radio stations, TV stations, cable stations, and, of course, Infowars.com/show and band.video. But the most important place to share the live links is Real Alex Jones on X, and to follow us there, and The Spaces that is now live with a lot of speakers coming in, a lot of other speakers coming up. And then we've got Viva Fry, a great lawyer, joining us, Robert Barnes, another great lawyer. We also have Darren Beatty, who's really smart. Former Trump advisor and Trump speechwriter popping in as well. It is the Trump kangaroo court railroading watch. And I don't know if the jury's going to come back today. They asked to have the instructions read to them again, where the judge said, you don't have to unanimously agree on any of the counts. If you just think he's a criminal, just say he's guilty. That is a judge misadvising them on purpose to confuse them, to convict them when the law says the opposite. It's cut and dry. The legal experts across the political spectrum admit this. This is an amazing moment. Chase Geiser, my co-host here, is also running the X Spaces because he has to be over his phone, hooked into our system. This is just doubling down on top of doubling down. Do they not get every time they do this? His poll numbers go up nationally in scientific polls. He's 20 points ahead on average. That's in mainline establishment polls that oversample Democrats. He's probably 30 points ahead, but he's 13 points ahead in most battleground states. This is a political realignment. The people already hate the establishment. They would vote for a ham sandwich over Joe Biden. But Trump is dynamic and amazing. This is a perfect storm.
Absolutely. Well, the thing that concerns me about it is, you know, I like the meme a lot, the Democrats are retarded video, and it's certainly true of most of the candidates, but at a campaign management level, like the Axelrods and others, we have some very sophisticated
minds. Oh, yeah, and that great piece we played last segment makes the point that their managers, their minions been trained to do this, which is true. Go ahead,
right. Sorry. Well, and that's what's so scary to me about this, because on the surface, it doesn't make any sense why they would come after Trump so hard if it's making him go up and up and up and up and up in the polls. Maybe they're thinking that it's not going to matter what the people are think at all, because there's going to be some legal recourse for them to use this as an excuse for the Republican Party to replace him as a candidate or something like that. I mean, if he's locked up, do you think that the Republicans at the convention are going to try to replace him as the candidate?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it. But the system admits, some of their key mouthpieces, the Soros group and Fareed Zakaria, admit they thought the image of the justice system saying he's a criminal, mm-hmm. and that idea they put out, well, okay, the indictment's backfired, but if he's convicted, that will hurt him. That's not going to work. I think they really miscalculated here.
You think it was just bad judgment?
Well, they're in their bubbles with a bunch of yes men and women around them, and they still think that they're in control. So it's a political assassination, you know, Trump, but the federal courts are already kicking it off into the election. They don't want any part of this. So, yeah, the globalists aren't as smart as you'd think. At the top, they're pretty smart, but they still inherited their power. But they give orders to minions below them that are very stupid. And so they're not really getting the intel back.
You know,
the globalists just give the orders and then right. That's it.
Well, you said something brilliant 10 years ago today where you said the globalists have the knowledge to dominate, but not the long-term wisdom. And I think that's what you're saying. We're seeing here with the transhumanists and the eugenics, this manifests in the political spectrum and in the cultural spectrum, where they're so self-righteous that they think they have it all figured out and they make stupid mistakes as a result.
It was a great idea you had a few months ago. You think of a lot of great ideas. You're a real innovator around here with the ads and the promos, the reports, to start every day. I guess you said you and your wife. I was right around with you and your wife and
yeah.
Your baby and your younger daughter. And she's heard my voice and said, Alex Jones.
She woke up in the car when I was giving you a
ride. How old is the baby?
She's 3 years old. And she said, Mommy, is that Alex Jones? Because you're sitting in the front seat.
Yeah. So, but the point is, you should start posting those without me asking me.
Sure.
Because people ask, do I post on the X account? Yeah, 95% of it's me. They'll put out the live show feed for the other shows and stuff. But I've told you, just do it. I trust you to be on there. You've got my code. Every day you're showing me these videos. I always forget to play. Hey, this is 10 years ago today. You said this. So feel good to just put that out as a regular feature.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we'll play that later in the broadcast. If you remind me, I want to really go to the people on X Spaces, and I want to be very clear here. Yesterday I was getting ready for the show. about an hour before the show, I saw that the judge's rules and jury charge, and I thought, well, I'm not a lawyer, but aren't you supposed to be unanimous on felonies, unanimous on crimes on each count? How is he saying, don't worry, mix and match, even if you don't all agree, just still go ahead and convict on everything? He's trying to confuse them. This is the most brazen, illegal kangaroo court thing. I mean, it's so over the top. And then I saw all the legal analysts, even Democrats, going, yeah, this is a show trial. This is rigged. I mean, even NBC's chief legal analyst said this is rigged. I mean, said this is rigged. I mean, now maybe the jury does jury nullification and realizes it's rigged, but the judge is telling them, just like the judge said in Texas and Connecticut, run by HBO as an HBO production, literally, with powder puffs and camera crews and everything. And they had scripts they followed. We weren't allowed to talk unless they asked us specific questions. They could read from notes. We couldn't. They could put on fake financial stuff. We couldn't. And the judges said, you're not allowed to say you're innocent. You're not allowed to. It was dozens of things we couldn't say. People 2 years ago weren't quite awake yet, but now they really get it. And I've seen the blowback on my cases as the public now really wakes up seeing what's happened to Trump. So the arrogant lawyers are expending any cap. Lawyers were already hated, but now they are a pariah. I mean, they have really screwed the pooch.
You know, what alarms me the most about all of this is I have people that are very close to me that I trust, longtime friends, 10 years. And in these various chat groups that I'm in, I hear whisperings and murmurings. And I see it online too, where people are having very rowdy ideas about what they think should be done in the event of a false conviction. And if you look back on...
Yeah, we don't want that. That's the real theory. And that's they're turning the temperature up, as Klaus Schwab said, angrier world, hoping people get pissed. So that is the genius of the evil. You just nailed it.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I'm concerned about that. I think there's a lot of things, obviously, that can be done before we turn to violence.
No, violence is not the answer. We're winning culturally. They're going to have to stage stuff and blame us. Right. No violence.
They want to provoke us to act irrationally, because then they can bring the hammer down harder than ever.
Well, look how they provocateur January 6th.
Yeah.
And a bigger extension is they want World War III with Russia to overturn the table.
Absolutely.
They're losing. We're winning. So we don't want any violence.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But
by the way, that's a no-brainer, folks. We're winning on every front. They're going to stage stuff and blame us. Don't worry. The last thing we want to do is have any violence.
I agree with you 100%. My concern is I try to think about everything that we face today in the context of how the founding fathers would respond. How do you think our founding fathers would be responding to this? And if we could bring them on a time machine to today after their minds are blown with all the technology that we have, what do you think they would think about this political climate?
They would definitely give us good advice, because they were very learned men. It was so cool to be a scholar. Benjamin Franklin, when he was 10 years old, could go pass any college exam. They were into like how many languages you could speak and understanding history. They would still be so blown away by technology and things they didn't think of. They'd be godsmacked, but they would still give us good advice.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they would say. I mean, I think it's the prosperity. That's the paradox, is what's made us like this, because hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. Good times make weak men, and weak men make bad times. It's having to learn to live with this level of prosperity that has made us so weak. So it's very paradoxical.
So do you think that we're going to experience this suffering and this corruption to such an extent that it wakes people up, but not to such an extent that it's insurmountable? Do you think that people genetically or whatever, something's going to be reawakened in the American spirit that stops this in time?
Well, that's already happening. And look, it's never been a majority that changes things. And the evil ones know that. It's a minority on the good side and the bad side. And so the minority that's awake now is 1,000 times bigger than the little globalist cabal that knows what they're doing. And then there's just a bunch of dumb people that are following along with their own destruction. And as soon as we show them how exciting it is, not cool, Hollywood's not cool, being patted on the head by the establishment cool, but how cool it is to be a real man or a real woman and know what's going on and stand up what's right. You're designed to do it, and it is spiritual, and then incredible doors open. But I've already spent 43 minutes playing clips and setting the table here. This is just total running scared desperation. If I had to call the show one thing, the establishment's running scared. None of their censorship's working. Their attacks aren't working. And as long as we don't give up and take what they call victories, they shut down InfoWars, which they're close to doing, we'll just come back stronger. Don't take it as a defeat. Take it as a sign of our success. And you have to continue to understand, just because you get knocked down, you get back up. And it's how many punches you can take, not just how many punches you can deliver. And in the aggregate, we're winning pound for pound. We are gaining the momentum. We've already turned the tide. And so everything else we're seeing now is like Skynet and Terminator sending, you know, back a Terminator to try to kill John Connor because they've already lost.
Now, as far as the globalists are concerned, do you think that they're so self-righteous that they don't even realize yet? Are they in denial that we're winning, or are they freaking out that we're winning?
Oh, no, they're totally freaking out. And they want life extension. They want technology. They want to use us as guinea pigs. And they're so inbred and degenerate. And they've got all these minions under them that tell them what they want to hear. They're just ordering them, kill them, dumb them down, keep control of them, replace them with robots. And they're just giving these orders. They get more and more shrill, and it's not working. All right, great points, Chase Geyser. How do people follow you on X?
You just follow me in the X space, at Real Chase Geyser, or if you're listening on radio or anywhere else that we broadcast, at Real Chase Geyser on X.
And I'm at Real Alex Jones, and please follow the rest of our crew as well, whether it's Owen Schroyer, Harrison Smith, you name it, or Darren McBreen, you name it. Okay, let's go. Who's up next first here on X Spaces as a speaker?
Well, Liz Churchill's always one of my favorites. She's had her hand raised for some time. Go ahead, Liz, say what you have to say.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll begin by stating, in regards to the Trump trial, is this what you would like to discuss, sir, Alex?
Well, I mean, there's the giant panopticon of weaponized judiciary, desperate deep state, the Trump trial. Yeah, I mean, that whole weaponized judiciary.
Right. Okay, so this is really important to understand. What you need to pay attention to are the Marxist Obama lawyers that are behind the scenes. And we're talking about people like Norm Eisen. These are the people that are orchestrating this litigation abuse that defies all common sense.
And by the way, you're right. From the White House, the Sybil, the state, the federal, they admit it's all illegally coordinated. That's key.
That's right. And what we need to look at in regards to the judges in charge right now is the money trail. I will extend on what my sister in spirit has said many times, Laura Loomer. Please pay attention to the money trail that she has discovered. Satanist Kathy Hochul is personally funding the children of the judge in charge of these cases. This is crazy. And when you look at the money trail and all of the people involved in this financial orchestration of this very apparent lawfare that you're witnessing.
By the way, Liz, take some time here. You got the floor, because you're not just saying things as a comment. The judge is being financed by the Democrats, his daughter, all of them. They're not even hiding.
Correct.
They're committing the real crimes. Elaborate on that.
Well, that's correct. And again, I don't want to take credit for any of this information, because it truly goes to Laura Loomer, who you should have on the show to state exactly the money trail that she has discovered. And you will see that the Democrat Party is entirely funding this orchestrated nightmare against President Trump. They're not hiding the money that they're sending to his children and the judge himself. Mm. And this is why you see such a corruption and murdering of the logic when it comes to the decisions that he's making. Like you've stated, 4 + 4 + 4 is unanimous. Like, this defies common sense. This defies what your justice system used to be. So we look at, you know, we look back at history, Stalin, etc., all of those dictators that used the very same tactics against their political opponents. The reality is that the old Biden regime, this is Obama and Biden, are orchestrating and purposely persecuting their political opponents.
And Liz, you just nailed it. People ask, why are they doing something, waking everyone up? Because they plan a full totalitarian takeover. They're going for
That's
broke.
Correct.
Go ahead.
That's correct, because you have to understand that they have nothing left. As you witnessed earlier, all of their A-list celebrities, all of their Hollywood endorsements, these people are hated, and they cannot use them as a prop any longer to induce the hypnosis that they have portrayed on the American people for so long, that these people are on our side. We now know that they are not. So they're out of solutions. They're out of everything that they've used in the past. And the only option that they have now is a weaponization of the justice system. And it's the only way to keep Trump off the ballot. And what do they want? What do they actually want from this? They want the headline convicted felon. They want to use the headline convicted felon up until the election. And when that time comes, this is when they will put him in prison because they will have no other option.
And they're all run by psychological warfare experts. Unless you're aware of the psychological, unless you're aware of the psychological warfare, it has power. If you're aware, you have power. Well, just real quick, they want to say that Trump supporters are criminals. That's been their talking point, that we've got to be reeducated, that we've got to be burned down. These are quotes. Go ahead, Liz.
And this is the thing, you've said it a million times before, this all is run by behavioral psychologists. Once you see that the behavioral psychologists are hijacking your mind to convince you of whatever illusion it is that they're choosing that day or whatever narrative it is that they want, once you can see past that, it becomes very crystal clear that everything is exactly that. An illusion. So we're at the point now where you're going to have over 100 million Americans vote for President Trump, and they cannot beat this level of people showing up to vote. They can't beat this cheat. They can't do it. There's no amount of fake ballots. There's no amount of psychological warfare. There's no amount of vote switching. Even if they implement some ridiculous mail drop box, sucker bucks, whatever you want to name it, it's still not going to be able to steal this election because too many people see it. So the reality is they have no choice but to completely imprison and persecute their political opponent because the people will still overwhelmingly come out in his favor. It doesn't matter what happens to President Trump in the grand scheme of things because it's only going to make him stronger.
Liz,
so they're in a real dilemma here.
We are. Yeah, you know, their back's against the wall. They tried to put us against the wall. Instead of creeping away and giving up for a while, that would be their smart move. They're not. They're going for broke because they want the live essence of technology. They know all these new technologies have been suppressing, or other countries are now discovering that the West discovered 30 years ago, 50 years ago. And so it's a war for the future. It's a war against logic. It's a war on humanity. And people are starting to get it. Liz Churchill, amazing points. How do people follow you on X?
I'm at Liz_. And thank you very much. I'll stay on listening for the next while. Thank you very much.
And by the way, Laura Loomer, we've had her on many times. We love Laura. She's one of those censored people out there. If she can get on X, we'll put her to the front of the line. So maybe send an invite to her.
Okay.
Somebody else can. I'm sure she's there in New York covering all this. All right, Liz Churchill, amazing points. Who's up next?
All right, let's go to Donnie Darkened. Donnie Darkened, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Really, really appreciate that. So, you know, I'm listening, and, you know, I've been very, very involved in the truther movement since I was 15 years old. You know, I started with the 9/11 rabbit hole, you know, continued, you know, going further and further and further. And it really hasn't dawned on me until very, very recently, that there is an even deeper deception that is at the root of all this. That is springing up a false light reactionary movement against the blatant tyrannical wickedness of the globalist elite, right? So like when we think about George Soros, we think about Klaus Schwab, we think about all these Great Reset, you know, blatantly evil, you know, DC comic book villains that, you know, are, they're like something out of an Austin Powers movie, you know. we underestimate how clever Satan is, and that the elite, you know, they're just pawns, right? You said earlier, you know, what's going on with the elite? You know, they're pushing, the more and more they push, the more and more people awaken, the more and more humanity wakes up to the truth and is uniting on this front against it. And I believe this is exactly the plan of deceptive spirits. I think that the root behind the deception isn't necessarily the elite, but it's the deceptive spirits that are guiding not only the elite, but also humanity's response against them, right?
Well, I mean, look. Evil with a Hegelian dialectic is going to try to use any counteraction they control, but good is way more powerful. This is the Great Awakening. For every action, there's an equal or opposite reaction. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. But there are so many good people. Evil is in trouble. good things are happening, and I think you're kind of saying like people exposing corruption or being guided by evil spirits. I don't think you're saying that, but clearly they want violence. They want to piss us off. We shouldn't go that direction. I mean, what are you actually trying to say?
Right. So you bring up a good point. Violence isn't the answer, of course. But I think that what's happening, what's stirring within the hearts of man will inevitably lead to violence because of humans' natural, sinful, fallen state.
And sure, so they know we're going to respond back, and they're going to try to spin it, so we're aware of that. But to then just say that I see this everywhere, any response back's controlled. No, the globalists aren't that powerful. Good is way more powerful. People just don't realize how powerful they are. I appreciate you. Let's go to the next person.
Sure, Donnie, thanks for speaking. Let's go to phenomenology. I wanted to hear what you have to say. Your bio sounds very interesting. You might have to speak on this.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for the mic. I want to take a moment and speak about the elections. I wish I was as confident as you, Liz, but we've got data showing that there's a steganographically concealed algorithm that can basically hide or conceal record attributes in our electronic poll books. This is so compelling that the data was published in the Journal of Information Warfare, which is a peer-reviewed cybersecurity journal. We recently have seen through public records requests that indeed double batches of ballots, they've been scanned double. Again, this is from public records requests from FOIA. We see that, yes, indeed, there was a database in China and a Huawei phone used with our elections. We see what Sheriff Darleaf has found.
You know, I've interviewed hundreds of election experts. They have a problem, though. Above 10-point lead, they have problems with dead people and machines because the numbers are so giant when you're winning by 10, 15, 20 points that even the computers, which are only sporadically manipulating, it's mainly mail-in ballots is the fraud. You can't override that.
Especially if you have high turnout.
That's why the system's panicking.
Well, I'm just saying that these things have not been addressed. So there are people working hard in every county of our country that are trying to bring attention to this, but these changes have not been made. A lot of the, a lot of what's planned now is just let's get more people eyeballs on watching the elections, but they are not going to see what's happening inside the BMDs, the ballot marking devices, inside the printers, inside the tabulators. There was a hearing yesterday in South Dakota. They were not turning on the ballot image aspect of the voting machines. And so then that way people can't recover the ballot images, so they can't have a
proper
audit.
No, you're right. There's massive fraud. There's a globalist coup going on. And then they steal it again. Only makes us make up even more. So, and then we have 90% vote for the next patriot, and it backfires. But no, I absolutely hear you. And you're making great points. I guess you cover this on your X account?
Yeah, I'm no influencer. I'm not a journalist. I'm just a mom. Who cares? And, I want to bring as much attention to this as possible because we can't just vote harder, Daddy. We have to have better policy.
No, we need paper ballots at the precinct level, all publicly done. That's what the State Department wants in other countries, but on here. Great points. Hour number two. We're back in 2 minutes. Stay with us. Infowars.com/show and band.video.
All right, folks, Nitrique Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitrique Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitrique Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitrique Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitrique Boost now.
This is so, so important. Please remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're listener supported. Your purchases at InfoWarsStore.com allow this powerful, game-changing information on the air, and they're really great products. InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamineral Fusion sold out, but a little bit more is coming in a few weeks, so that's a bummer. But Nitrique Boost cleans out your blood, so good for your heart, your brain, everything. It is back in stock, 40%. 20% off. There is, of course, a lot of other great products like the Ultimate Fish Oil, highest grade of fish oil at a great price. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, so good for your cardiovascular system, so good for your sleep. It's available as well at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. And while you're there, get 10-hour clean energy that is amazing. Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com as well. Get a copy of one of my two newest books, The Great Reset and the War for the World, and the newest one, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists and Launch the Next Great Renaissance.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
All right. Some stations don't care. This first 5 minutes will go to all your spaces, comments, and speakers in 6 minutes. But here is from the vault 10 years ago today what I was talking about. Here it is.
Well, the globalists are a couple steps ahead of everybody. Does that mean the Chinese elite aren't absolutely evil? No, they're really evil. Does that mean the Russian elite aren't evil? No, they're evil. Because they're cheating to control society. They're using tricks to be in control that are bad. Because good people don't want to be in power and don't want to dominate people. We are then automatically supplanted by the evil ones, not because they're better than us, but because we won't stand up against them until it's almost too late. Then we do, we defeat them, a new renaissance happens, we become decadent in the cycle, they creep back in and take control. And this time, if we don't reverse them, they're going to probably destroy the planet, irrevocably destroy the genetic code of the human race, and really wreck our chances of becoming a type 1 civilization and setting up off-world colonies. And then you can decide if you want to be a transhumanist and leave one colony and do whatever you want here, or you want to go to this colony where people maintain their humanity. I mean, real freedom. We need a renaissance, trailblazing, explorer system. That's what humans do. That's what makes us great. We change our environment. We do evolve faster than any other species. We are incredible. And we need to have a view that we're incredible and amazing, not the view put out by the Bilderberg Group that the general public is trash while they try to dumb us down. That sin against life and against true competition is an unbelievable blasphemy. And if you don't believe in God, that's your issue. I'm saying it's a blasphemy against art. It's a blasphemy against beauty. It's a blasphemy against free will. It is a tyrannical, authoritarian blasphemy against my soul and my very programming. And I have a right to self-determine against it. And if I'm attacked, I have a right at warfare. And I am in warfare, in information war, with the truth viciously attacking my enemy. And I want you to join me in attacking the enemy as well. Because they're your enemy one way or another. They're attacking you, whether you admit it or not. These people are absolutely anathema to everything good. I like driving by beautiful farmers' fields and seeing the beautiful rows of wheat or corn. I love seeing happy, beautiful, excited people. These globalists are the pessimists who don't believe in humanity and who think we're ugly and bad, so they're making it a self-fulfilling prophecy, and who are waging war against humanity because to a man and a woman, I've studied them. They like ugliness, and they don't like your good-looking wife. They don't like you if you're good-looking. They don't like your art. They don't like your healthy kids. They don't like you having your own wealth. They want it all for themselves. The bureaucracy of them trying to put all of us collectively in a control grid prison to protect themselves shows how they're now in a prison as well of their own making. See, what you try to do to somebody else generally ends up happening to you. And the globalists have knowledge of how to dominate. They do not have long-term wisdom of, gee, is this good for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, what I'm doing to humanity? Well, yes, I'm making my house powerful and great and big. Yeah, but I look at your kids. They're all basically on average messes. You are destroying your genetic line. You are committing a crime against your name. It's just not good. And the argument is, well, I'm not really a bad person. I'm in a larger corrupt system, and I work within it to try to do better at certain points. But you never do.
I'm not saying everybody at Bilderberg is evil. I'm not even saying they run the whole world. They are a key organization that admits they set up the plan for the European Union, and that's been declassified. BBC in the 90s reported that and interviewed the head of the Bilderberg group at the time, Lord Healy. And they were in, again, the German newspapers 2 weeks ago bragging that they're the most powerful. I don't know. According to Helmut Schmidt in his book, Men in Power is a Political Retrospective, German Chancellor, he said it was probably the most powerful, along with Trilateral Commission and Bohemian Grove. And he went on to say, we actually get a lot done at Bohemian Grove, and it's my favorite place. Yeah, because they have sex by night and party and get drunk and make decisions by day. And it is a beautiful area in Northern California, one of the prettiest places on the planet. But the issue is, we don't like you running our lives and then saying you're not. See, once we force them to admit they are making a lot of the decisions, then we have to say, what are those decisions?
Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time, this is really good for you, so it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get ultimate fish oil.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we are simulcasting here on the Alex Jones Show, Thursday, May 30th, 2024. We're now 6 minutes into hour number two. We have constitutional lawyers joining us, you name it, all coming up. We're hosting right into the fourth hour, the no one shorter 3 p.m., as we are on the watch of this verdict out of New York. But I wanted to get Dr. Darren J. Beatty of Revolver.News at Darren J. Beatty on X to pop in quickly before I go back to other X speakers. As a former Trump advisor and also White House speechwriter and really one of the smartest guys out there about what's really going on, to give his quick snapshot take on how everything they're doing to Trump is blowing up their face. Beyond that, 20 points ahead nationally, 13 points battleground states. What is the deep state going to do? They're clearly planting false flags. They're clearly promoing that there's white supremacists everywhere, hide under your tables, even though no one's buying. Now they've got J6 cops running around campaigning for Biden who's hiding in the basement. They've hit the panic button. And now the judge puts out this jury order that's completely illegal saying, oh, you don't have to all agree on the crime. It's just any crime you want. Then just convict him on everything. This shows total running scared desperation. So, Dr. Beatty, what is your view on what's happening right now?
I think desperation is the perfect word to describe what's going on. And you saw it the other day with this kind of mangled PR effort, which was really probably an effort to influence the jury pool with the washed up actor Robert De Niro and the other washed up actor from January 6th, Michael Fanone. And so, yes, they're desperate. Why are they desperate? I think that's interesting to consider. And I'm somewhat uncomfortable being the voice of measured optimism here. But actually, I think the Democrat machine is guilty of a profound miscalculation here. What is that miscalculation? Well, you know, they had COVID in 2020. COVID was massive for them. The fraud on the back of COVID was massive for the Democrat machine. The mail-ins, and they had censorship. They don't really have COVID now, and I know there are a lot of theories, but I suspect that 2020 was a high watermark for that sort of thing. I just don't see them being able to shove another COVID pandemic-type event down people's throats, not this late in the game. I might be wrong. I don't suspect it. As for censorship, 2020 was also the high watermark. now you've had a bunch of this stuff exposed in Twitter files. And probably most importantly, you have Elon Musk, who's taken over Twitter. And so, yes, there's still censorship, but it's far less than it would have been in 2020. So the COVID style shenanigans are lower than they were in 2020. The censorship is much lower than in 2020. So what are they banking on now to give them that extra edge, to put it charitably? It's the lawfare techniques. They really thought that these sham legal cases, both civil and criminal, could function in effect as the COVID of 2024. These joke trials were supposed to be the COVID of 2024, and they're seeing dramatically, right in their face, undeniably, that it's just not going to work. And in fact, it's backfired. Not only is it not working, it's backfiring. And it might have been one thing if they got the J6 criminal trial before the election, which they haven't been able to do. I mean, it is interesting. They were trotting out some J6 actor, Michael Fanone, but he's not talking about the J6 case. He's out there talking about this stupid Stormy Daniels case that everyone recognizes is a complete joke. So they've kind of mixed and matched here to a point that really looks awkward and clumsy. Someone lost the plot at some point, and it's just too late for them now, and that's why they're panicking. This is really kind of all that they have. They were really counting on these trials to have an effect. And now that they all see that that's not the case, and it's probably too late to get rid of Biden, frankly, without unsustainable collateral damage politically, they're really caught in a tough place right now. And it's as simple as that.
Can they pull a rabbit out of a hat? I agree with your analysis 100%. What is their ace card? World War III with Russia? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, and even if it's going to be something like that, I think at this point it's just going to make Biden look worse. You know,
the reason I say that is because Russia and China are going to attack to help Trump. Everybody knows in political science, which you have a degree in, they are literally a new war helps the incumbent. That's the October surprise. It's never done by the challenger.
That is traditionally the case, but I think when you have someone with the obvious limitations of Biden, it could actually work in the opposite direction.
Explain that.
Especially the way that he's mishandled the Israel issue. Already there's just so much pressure against him. If he allows under his watch global chaos to erupt and he's a leader and he can barely stand up for more than 5 minutes and say anything, I don't know if that traditional incumbent advantage will hold.
I have to agree with you. So, do they have any cards to play? Because we don't want to be too confident here. Like the wolf says in Pulp Fiction, we're not out of the woods yet. So, what do you expect?
Well, I think of all objective metrics, it looks like the advantage goes to Trump pretty resoundingly. And, you know, you don't want to get complacent. You know, that's why you never want to say something like that because.
Sure, but even Fareed Zakaria said 2 weeks ago he thought the lawfare would work. He admitted it was lawfare. AOC admits it, but he said it's failed. And so even the Washington Post said, hopefully Trump has a heart attack, which brings in the assassination angle.
You know, that's maybe the only X factor they have. Something like that. Something that could take him off the table. As for ace up the sleeve, you know, you never want to rule it out, but it's really hard for me to imagine. Like even things with COVID, these kinds of things, they require a substantial degree of advanced preparation to kind of cultivate the public consciousness.
That's right. They prepared the lawfare as their final left hook, but it failed. They don't have another one ready. That's dead on.
Right. And even if they were to try to roll one out, I just think it's too late in the game, just like it's too late for them to comfortably remove Biden and replace someone else. It's always been a strategic problem for them because, as we all know, nobody likes Kamala. So they have to find a way to get rid of Biden, overstep Kamala, and manage whatever kind of indignation might result.
So they're going to go to assassination and false flags. and Civil War, which they have movies about and they pre-programmed. Do you agree with that statement? How do we counter that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if assassination is such a huge possibility. I mean, never want to rule it out, but I think they're very desperate now. They don't know what to do, and they might have just fumbled in this case. But again, you never really want to say that because you don't want to encourage complacency. Now is the time to push harder than ever because, you know, Trump is the front runner in every respect. Now is not the time to let up. But it really seems like the vaunted Democrat machine, remember how capably and competently they moved in lockstep in order to solidify Biden in the 2020 Democrat primary. Remember, there were so many different players, then all of a sudden it seemed overnight it was Biden. That was a masterful display of the Democrat machine's power.
Coordination.
And it just doesn't seem like that level of power and coordination and consensus and competency is operative.
No, I think that's a very accurate statement. So, again, what Hail Marys will they throw? Because if I know one thing about them, they're not going to give up. Do you agree with that, Doctor?
Of course, yeah. And they were banking a lot of the lawfare stuff, and maybe they're going to try to, and that's at the extracurricular level. At the retail level, they're counting on ginning up the woman vote with all the pro-choice stuff, the abortion stuff. But I think those are basically the pillars of their strategy.
But
the
grocery prices and gas prices and crime overrides all that.
Yes. Yes. So I think they're operating at a pretty severe disadvantage now. And again, you know, things can change. It's a long time between now and November, but things look a lot better for Trump than I would have imagined a year and a half ago.
No, I agree. Everything they're doing is turning to crap, which for me, though, I've learned, been on the air 30 years and, you know, 50 years old, not super old, but when you think you're winning, you're about to lose. I'm really concerned. The desperation adds a very dangerous wild card to what these lunatics may do. What do we do to put major pressure on the establishment and the media and the culture pimps so they continue to basically back down? Because, again, I'm really concerned about them doubling down.
That's always a concern. But, you know, I think the censorship issue is really crucial for that. Twitter is less censored, and so they're not able to get away with the kind of stuff that they're used to being able to get away with. They're so delegitimized at the moment that anything that happens, a broad swath of the general public is going to approach it with immediate skepticism. So I don't even know if these kind of traditional kind of false flags, these last minute Hail Mary attempts that, you know, we've seen in the past, I think even these would have a profound backfire effect on the regime at this point.
Well, I totally agree with you. And their attacks on Trump have created the Deus Ex effect, like Han Solo coming in to save Luke Skywalker in the last, you know, moment before he fires his torpedoes at the Death Star. I mean, that's where we are right now. This is epic failure. But again, if we're overconfident, as you're warning, then we're screwed.
Right. This is not to encourage complacency. It's to increase our enthusiasm. It's to say, we've got this. We need to move ahead and not make mistakes. It's ours to lose at this point.
I was about to say, it's ours to lose. So, Dr. Darren Beatty, what do you advise folks to do? What do you advise Trump to do right now? Because this is epic.
I think Trump is handling it very well. He understands the public's reaction to this. He understands that there's a general perception that these cases against him, in particular the one right now, they're just a total farce. And any, you know, disinterested party looking at this understands it. So it's like, again, it's an own goal, I guess you could say. It's amazing that they put so much of their cards. Remember, this is the only criminal trial that's going to happen in all likelihood before the election. And it's a trial that's ridiculous in every conceivable dimension. It's just somebody screwed up profoundly.
Well, I was about to say, they said get him no matter what, and they overdo it. It backfires. So That's really the paradox here. Like, if I was a Democrat being evil, they would just have him found not guilty and move on and forget it. But instead, I think it's better for Trump if he gets convicted. I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's certainly, you know, there's no sense that it would harm him. You know, if Biden were smart, he would have stayed away from this. He might have even, you know, this is kind of a controversial thing.
That's what Mitt Romney said. Pardon him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's, you know, probably good advice, because it would show that Biden's the bigger guy. It would show that Biden has, you know, more power because he is able to pardon and, you know, just, you know, move on from that to really lean into this and make it their strategy was a profound miscalculation, as was, I think, not getting rid of Biden at some point, maybe like a year ago.
And that's been the plan, but I agree with you that they're not going to be able to change horses at the convention. They're going to go ahead and go with Biden.
Yeah.
Chase Geiser, final question before we go back to other spaces with the great Dr. Darren Beatty.
Yeah, so for the longest time, I agree with you. I couldn't believe that they didn't swap out Biden. Do you think there's any connection to the question of whether Biden will be swapped out and the fact that for some reason the Democrats have scheduled the convention just 75 days before the general election? I know that's fairly...
And now they're saying it's going to be virtual.
Yes. So what's going on there?
Who knows? I certainly don't know. One can only speculate. But again, it's too late in the game. It's too late in the game to be effective, because these types of changes require a certain runway length.
Massive planning. Massive. You got to have runway. You got to have runway, as you said.
Yeah. You got to prime the public for this. You got to, you know, introduce and seduce the public to this new idea, get them used to it, whatever it is. And they just don't have time to do that.
So it's ours to lose. You say Trump's doing a great job. He is. But you're a smart guy and you've advised him. I know he gets the show. He gets the memo. We got to give him some advice, Doc. What would you say to him?
Well, in terms of these trials, keep going in the same direction. Keep hitting it hard. You know, I think, you know, choose your VP wisely. Don't pick Nikki Haley. That would be my biggest bit of advice there. At least don't pick Nikki Haley.
Yeah,
don't
no, 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 let me put it forward. Who's the best one? I like Devin Nunes. I like Rand Paul. Tucker's not going to do it. Who do you think the best VP would be? Because instead of him picking a bad one, we should tell him who to pick.
Right. Well, I think that him picking someone like Nikki Haley would be a worst case scenario. I like J.D. Vance a lot. We've supported Vance. We supported Tucker. But I think Tim Scott would be a really bad choice. I think Trump is smarter than that. He won't do Tim Scott, I hope. He's not going to do Nikki Haley, I hope. But again, you know, you have these deceptive voices always whispering on the side, trying to encourage him to do things like that. So he just needs to trust the better angels of his nature.
Yeah, well, he should pick Hillary Clinton over Nikki Haley.
Same thing.
Right. And, you know, it's for a number of reasons. If he picks Nikki Haley, like from the regime standpoint, the regime actually wouldn't mind Trump and Nikki Haley. Then he might have to worry about assassination, because the regime wouldn't mind a Nikki Haley presidency at all. In fact, the regime, if they could get away with it, they probably prefer Nikki Haley to Biden at this point.
Wow. All right. Any closing comments, Dr. Darren J. Beatty?
Well, again, it's ours to lose. All of the factors that work to our disadvantage in 2020 are improved now. So 2020 was the high water mark for censorship. It was the high water mark for, I believe, election fraud. Now we have so many things working in our favor. Their one ace, which is the Lawfare ace, is backfiring tremendously. So it's simply a matter of staying focused. Don't get clownish. Don't make poor decisions. Keep going on the same track, and I think all of the objective metrics point in favor of a Trump victory in 2024.
Last question. I really respect your view. Elon Musk, is he an opportunist that sees the globalists are failing and doesn't want him on the wrong side of it, or does he really care about humanity? He's got a bunch of kids. That's a good sign, and he's actually on our team.
I mean, I think with all of these things, the answer is kind of more complicated, maybe a combination of all of these factors and some factors that we haven't identified. You know, it's one of those things. There are so many people with a lot of money who can make a big difference on things. And he's one of the few people with a lot of money who's actually stepped into the arena in a meaningful way. Has he done it in a perfect way? Of course not. But simply the fact that someone would step into arena and someone in his position would step into the arena with a fairly entrepreneurial approach. You know, he's done more for censorship from the private sector than any, you know, president or elected official on our side has been able to do through the government. So he's been entrepreneurial in that sense and bold, and he's taken a great risk in doing so, even though from our vantage point, we can find a lot of things that he hasn't done well, he hasn't done perfectly. From the broad kind of view of things, especially given the other people, you know, the other billionaires who basically do nothing or do bad things, I think he's had a really remarkable effect on our political and cultural landscape. And at this point for him, no matter how much he would maybe not want this to be the case, he's already got a mark on him from the standpoint of the regime. So whether he likes it or not, his fate is somewhat intertwined with Trump's. And I think that accounts for the recent sort of collaborative activity, affinity. There was a report in the Wall Street Journal on this. This has been going on for a while. He understands that, and even from the most, you know, selfish level, that his financial and business interests are much better off under
Trump. Perfectly said. Dr. Darren J. Beatty, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Revolver.news. Revolver.news. You got a big new report out about Meet Donald Harvin, Trump-hating deep state official who predicted the J6 pipe bomb in advance. That's a very important data point. People should go read that and share that. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you.
We're going to go to break, come back, and take a ton of spaces, comments. And you're going to stay with me. We got a guest host who's already scheduled to come in here. London Real, the new big film, and he'll ride shotgun with us. But let me just say this right now. Beatty nailed it. Musk has chosen us, and now criminal investigations are open in Brazil, Australia, the EU, and the U.S. This is real. Whatever reason he did it. And as he gets more power, he comes more over to our side. That's a key point. So people said, oh, he didn't really do this, or he didn't really invent that, or he didn't really do this, or he didn't really do that. He did do all that. We know he's sick of that. And now he's like, okay, did I buy Twitter? Did I open it up? Did I do every post pro Trump, every post anti Biden? You're talking about the Wall Street Journal and media, and they're all mad. No. Is he suing Media Matters? Folks, when you get something like this, you can't ignore it. I mean, it's seismic. You judge a tree by its fruits. Elon Musk is slaying the current globalist system. So you can say, well, the enemy, my enemy is my friend. Whatever. I'm not this holier than thou guy that sits back in the face of this and says, well, I've been around 30 years before he did this. I'm the guy that's in charge. I'm the only one you can trust. No, I want to beat this. And as Elon has said, the globalist system is a suicide cult. It will destroy civilization in the world. So thank God for Elon Musk. You want to comment on that before we get a break?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think one of the things that I learned having watched how this played out with Elon Musk is how impatient people are. So Elon Musk buys X and doesn't institute Alex Jones immediately.
He had to crawl through it.
He doesn't institute Nick Fuentes immediately. And everyone's like, oh, he's not really a free speech guy. He hasn't done these things. And they say the same thing about Trump. Oh, Trump didn't shut down the FBI or the CIA during his first term. The lesson here is it takes time to do these things. And just because they don't happen right away doesn't mean that they're not part of
it. And it's been happening.
Yes.
And they're coming after him. And it's real. Folks, people say, oh, Jones isn't real. Believe me, baby, they're coming after me. I'm real as hell. Yeah. And see, that's the thing. People don't expect there's other good people. There's a lot of good people. We've just been under evil control for a while. Things are turning around.
Absolutely. And you can feel it.
My God, we're promoting freedom and prosperity. Can't we admit we're successful and just get ready to win? We're not offering some leftist utopia, free everything. We're saying we're going to free each other together.
Absolutely.
Me off, man. I mean, like, Elon Musk is devastating them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And he had every business incentive not to do it because all of his government contracts with SpaceX.
And they're taking them away.
And they're screwing him on subsidies and everything.
He's doing it, man. And you see a man in the arena. And people sit. I mean, I'm a man in the arena. So I admire a man in the arena. No. Elon Musk is running the tables. Thank God for him. We'll be right back.
Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now. And for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get ultimate fish oil. Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. And I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast, a 360 win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale's going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now, and I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the New World Order's coming. It's here.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss. It equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are. And that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
If you're receiving this transmission, you are the hope. You are the resistance. The answer to 1984
is... If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
All right, big development, not just in the Trump trial. Michelle Obama has announced she's running for president today. This just broke. Here is Michelle Obama announcing her run for the presidency 2024.
Yeah, okay, shut the fuck. Listen, this will literally save your life.
So if you 45 or 455 like me, get your ass checked. This is killing way too many of my constituents, especially black men. And I need you all alive to vote 2024. I see you in November.
Is that the president from Idiocracy?
Yeah, Rondo.
She didn't really announce, folks. I don't think she's got the stomach for it. I know we're trying to get her to. Roger had the intel, but
she's got the balls.
Linebacker NFL. All right, let's go back to ex-speakers here.
Okay. I want to go to Jeremy Ryan Slate. I saw that you took your hand down, Jeremy, but if you're still with us, please unmute, because I had you in studio a couple of weeks ago. Amazing guest, amazing expert on ancient Roman propaganda. Jeremy, are you there? Can you go ahead and unmute and say what you have to say?
Yeah, I'm here. Chase, Alex, thanks for having me back again, guys. It was good to see you a couple weeks ago. And I did want to build off of the Robert De Niro thing yesterday, because I think it's really interesting. They're still trying to, in a veiled way, make the parallels of Trump and Caesar, because De Niro said, you know, like, if he gets back in there, he's not going to leave. Mm-hmm. And the thing that people don't understand about Caesar, like, Caesar didn't disband his troops because if he went back into the city of Rome, they were going to arrest him. Because what happened in the late Republic is they would pass laws after someone served a political office to then use those laws against them and arrest that person. So it created a really difficult time in the late Republic before it becomes an empire. But the point I keep making that shows that De Niro is a liar is, well, Trump left office. He said, you know, maybe I don't agree with your process. Maybe it's a sham process, but he left office. So in just that, the positioning he's trying to make in people's mind, I also see it as a veiled threat, too, because I know Time magazine ran an article about this in March where they keep trying to connect the whole Trump is Caesar thing. Because at the same time, all you've got to get is one stupid person to hear that, to get the idea, and then, you know, go after President Trump for that as well. So I also see it as a veiled threat. But I don't see the, you know, they're not equal. They're not definitely not the same, because Caesar didn't relinquish power and Trump did. He didn't agree with the system, but he did that. And I think also from, I know a couple people have touched on it, but also from there's two other aspects that the first being, I know Alex had mentioned the Hegelian dialectic aspect of it. They also can get someone to do something stupid to justify the next action they want, which, you know, might be the criminalization of conservatives or Republicans or, you know, conservative minded libertarians, whatever it is. It's to go after a group, right? They have a result they want in mind. They're just trying to cause the action to create that. And even with this verdict and the strange way they're running it of, you know, the judge basically saying you could pick any combination of these things. And if it works, then we can, you know, find him guilty. They just want to be able to say, you know, that Trump is a felon. That's the whole idea on this, because it's going to be overturned on appeal if it does actually happen. But the point is just to have the PR play. You know, I'm a public relations person. This is how I look at these things. To have the right way to call him so that they can run this campaign in the future. So that was my thoughts on that.
No, I agree with you. When you were here last week, I had to go because of some family issues, but I did watch the show later. You were explaining really the history of this and what you think they're going to pull.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, they keep trying to make this comparison. I think the major thing is people don't realize that Rome's three eras in time. It's a kingdom first, then a republic, and then an empire. And I think the major thing that you have to look at is that the republic phase, you know, though we are a republic by constitution, we're not a republic by function. And, you know, the 1913, a lot of the main elements of a functional republic, the income tax amendment, the Federal Reserve, and then also the 17th Amendment taking away the representation.
You're right. We are a private corporate Federal Reserve farm.
Yeah. Exactly. So there is no republic to fall. The republic has fallen. Now we have to figure out how to fix what's here. And they're really just clamping down power is really where we're at. So we're in kind of a late third century stage of Rome. And as I said, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme in a lot of ways.
And we've got the equivalent of the Visigoth Alaric coming in with the illegal aliens.
Correct. And that's exactly what's happening, because the Roman state, the first thing that was killing them was inflation. By 284 AD, they're at 15,000% inflation. So the state is crumbling. They're bringing in all of these you know, immigrants from the borders to fight in the Roman army because the armies weren't big enough and they needed each emperor would raise an army to attack other emperors. And once there's no money and the people that are serving the army don't have money to get paid, well, they don't need the state anymore. And that's exactly how Rome dissolves.
So history is repeating.
In a lot of ways, I would say that, yeah.
What's your prediction for the election?
You know, I think that the goal here is to throw Trump in jail. I think that's what they're doing. I think if it's run ethically, I think Trump runs away with it. You guys were talking earlier about Michelle Obama, and I know Roger Stone had mentioned that to me as well, about, you know, her being the possible candidate in the future. I just don't see Biden being the candidate. I don't know. I think if things aren't done the correct way, I do think the Democrats win, and I think we have a lot of work ahead of us.
I agree with you. Great points. Chase Geiser?
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Jeremy, as this pertains to the comparison of Trump with Julius Caesar, obviously on the top of our minds here in America as a civilization that values freedom and tends to not like autocrats. I mean, the whole country was founded in a rebellion against a king. We think of Julius Caesar as the end of freedom, regardless of whether or not that's true. We think of him as the first Caesar, the first dictator of Rome, permanent dictator, that is, dictator for life.
And I would say Rome was already under a bureaucratic oligarchy or plutocracy, and he was actually a populist leader coming in. That's why he was so popular.
Right.
It's actually a manifestation. The Trumpian example is not accurate because he did seize power, but in that Trump is popular, there is a Caesar comparison.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, Jeremy. People think or just assume that because Julius Caesar seized so much power for himself that he was hated by the people. Even the Senate, as I understand it, believed that he was hated by the people. That just isn't true, right, Jeremy?
No, it's 100% not true. And I think the thing people don't understand is, so Julius Caesar dies in, I think it's 43 BC, but Rome was in revolution from 133 to 31 BC. So almost 100 years of revolution. So people are very beat up by this point in time. They've been experiencing war for 100 years. And there's actually a character right before Caesar that in my mind in history should get more attention and really doesn't. And that's Sulla. Sulla is one of the, he's not the first, but he's one of the major ones to attack Rome and declare himself dictator. He declares himself dictator for the restoration of the Republic. And he starts this process called proscription, where they put these tablets up in the forum every day and they just start killing people. You know, new names would be added every single day. Caesar walks into this power vacuum and he's basically, he's a populist in a lot of the ways. He becomes consul in 59 BC. Consul was, basically they have two consuls every year. It's like having two presidents because they didn't want one person to have power. So one of the first things he does is he gives land to the retired troops so they have the ability to farm. So he starts bringing in a lot of these things for the people. But the issue is, too, in the late Republic, a lot of the guys in the Senate and in political positions were broke. So there's this one guy, Marcus Crassus. And Marcus Crassus, he's also a member of the First Triumvirate with Caesar. But he's actually the one that was lending the money to all these politicians. So, yes, Caesar is a populist and does a lot of different things, but he's broke his entire career. So because he always owes money to Marcus Crassus, just like a lot of the Senate. So he makes a lot of bad decisions based on, well, if I fail at this, my career is over because I owe Crassus money and I don't have a way to get it.
All right. Very interesting points. And people need to understand we base a lot of our country on Rome. And so history does repeat and rhyme. Great points. Who's up next?
Awesome. Thanks, Jeremy. Let's go to Hi-Rez the Rapper. Hi-Rez, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say.
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm
How's
good.
It going, guys?
Great. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know it's quick. Alex, I just wanted to, first of all, I'm not shouting myself out, but just so you know who I am, I'm the guy who made the AI raps of you and that cartoon animations and everything, man. We're a big fan. We're going to keep supporting you. And
I've seen
you
your work.
Kind of,
great job.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, we're big fans, man. Whenever you figure out your legal issues, whenever they get over, we have a ton of fucking patriots ready to, like, just donate you a fuck ton of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
Just got to remind you, we are on the radio, so please watch the language. We can get fined.
Okay, we'll cover the fines with the cryptocurrency. We'll donate. Don't worry. But yeah, so thank you. Regarding Trump, man, I don't think I'm going to offer anything ridiculous than you've heard, man. I think that I'm confused to the point where why would they – are they that stupid? Because they have to know that things backfire on this man every single time, right?
They have no other recourse but lawfare.
But it's not working is my point. Unless once again, like Jeremy said, this guy goes to prison, World War III, Civil War, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not working. Every time this guy got a mugshot, boom, everyone loved him even more. Every time this guy gets whatever, boom, they love him even more.
But they're in their own bubbles. This is a real attack on Trump. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, no. So I know it's legitimate. I just can't picture someone being that stupid that they wouldn't take another course of action. You know,
that's why we aired a promo earlier asking, why are the Democrats retarded?
Yeah, I mean, bro, it's like it makes no sense. You know, like you said, maybe they just live in their little ivory towers, which we know is the case. But to me, these people are, you know, they might be rich, they might be wealthy. I don't think they're stupid. They might be retarded, like you said, in all the worst of ways, you know, but I think retarded people are much more intelligent than these people. But it makes no sense to me that they wouldn't just do something different. This guy, maybe you can't vote your way out of this.
They're a bunch of lawyers. We have a weak establishment. They're not soldiers. They're not philosophers. They've just been ripping everybody off of legal stuff. So they thought, well, we'll just use legal things. Now that's backfiring. They're out of bullets. I appreciate you. But since you mentioned how retarded they are, this piece put out is so good. I posted it. The credit's on Real Alex Jones. We're going to go find out who the group is because the printout doesn't have it. But here it is, introducing the mentally retarded. This is a Democratic Party public service announcement. Or maybe we're retarded. Just can't hear it. Here we go. I am introducing the mentally retarded. I'm not calling you guys retarded. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm kind of retarded. I said on Joe Rogan. Hey, let me be honest with you. Kind of retarded. Like Robert De Niro.
The mentally retarded are divided into classifications. The educable, the trainable, and the custodial. Obviously, we can only assess the abilities or potential of the mentally retarded on an individual basis. Seemingly random motions and movements are fairly common among the custodial retarded, and they may take many forms. Sometimes there are motions which seem to have no meaning whatever and may even cause unintentional self-inflicted injuries. The vast majority of the mentally retarded are intelligent enough that they can be taught a great many things. However, there's a wide range of ability even among those considered educable. And their ability to learn obviously varies according to their level of intelligence. Equally important is a stimulating environment. However, we must remember to set realistic standards that are not too high for the individual. Many of the trainable retarded can learn to take certain kinds of household responsibilities, some of which may be more complex than they are usually given credit for. It would be wrong to expect a mentally retarded person to become a master craftsman. The standards are too high. But even in the skilled trades, for example, the mentally retarded can be trained to become valuable assistants. Who are the mentally retarded? They are people. They come in both sexes and in all sizes, shapes, creeds, and colors. Wherever people live, there also live the mentally retarded.
That's a really good public service announcement. Speaking of the mentally retarded, here's First Lady Jill Biden, Dr. Biden, attacks Donald Trump with a view saying he can't string a sentence together. I think she's talking about her husband, but we can't blame her because she's mentally retarded. Here it is.
You know, I think the American people deserve a debate because you need to see your choices. You need to see Trump, and you need to see the president, and you need to see the differences. And my husband's, and you're going to see how smart he is and the experience he has. And then you'll see somebody who, like you're saying, I'm going to use Joy's words, put a sentence together, and everything is beautiful, and it's wonderful.
Tremendous.
Bigly. Yeah. Tremendous. Yeah. So I think you deserve, the American people deserve to see the two men who are running for this office, because your choice is going to be clear.
Yeah.
Man, that is some gaslighting. That is next level.
It just makes me sick.
It's like saying dog crap is chocolate ice cream.
Yes.
I mean, that is wow.
That is gaslighting at its peak. She shouldn't even have her license after what she did to cover for Hunter Biden's abuse of the underage relative. I mean, it's just every time I see these people, it makes me sick.
You mean Jill Biden's not a good person?
No, she's not. I don't think so.
All right, who's up next? We have the Trump verdict watch in the kangaroo trial in New York. Trump totally violating the gag order. It's unconstitutional. Great job. Just saying the judge is a crook and a criminal and a fraud. I mean, this is beautiful.
Let's go to Jason Burmes. Burmes, what do you think, man? Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Lord Burmes, former InfoWars talk show host.
Thank you so much for having me. Let me integrate a couple of things that I've seen on the show today. Number one, that clip from 10 years ago when you're discussing Bilderberg. Bilderberg is now taking place. We have the official list. It is in Madrid, Spain. And you also mentioned Fareed Zakaria. He is in attendance. It seems that their love affair for him continues. You also have other people on the left, such as Stacey Abrams, who they were unable to position.
They had Stacey Abrams go to Bilderberg? Oh, wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah, buy two seats on the flight.
Yep.
Well, this isn't the first time she's been there. She's actually started going pre-COVID, and she is also on the list. When we're talking about Americans, we have the directors of national security. We also have the NATO head.
By the way, for folks who don't know what Bilderberg is, until 15 years ago, they did not even exist. We used to go cover it. It's important. I'm doing a special Saturday show at 10 a.m. Central with Daniel Esselin this Saturday. Tell us about Bilderberg and then get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. For those that don't know, this is actually the 70th conference. There were two that did not take place during the COVID-1984 nightmare. But to me, this is the cream of the managerial crop. In other words, you have people that come every year. People like Peter Thiel are there, his partner Alex Karp. They run Palantir. There was just a trade show this week on modern day warfare, kind of like a CES for the military industrial complex, where Karp was interviewed and basically talked about the future of AI and modern warfare. And let me just read the topics that they have put down for Bilderberg down the list. It is the state of AI, AI safety, the changing faces of biology, due to their transhumanist agenda, by the way.
Burmes, your audio cut out. You still there?
Well, let me continue.
No, you're back. Yep. You were talking about AI and warfare.
Yes. State of AI, AI safety, changing faces of biology, climate, future of warfare, geopolitical landscape, Europe's economic challenges, U.S. economic challenges, U.S. political landscape, Ukraine and the world, Middle East, China, and Russia. And, you know, there is not a lot of representation, obviously, on the Russian end or in the Middle East. This is basically what I believe will be them doling out the plans for things like the World Economic Forum, for things like the election process coming up in 2024. So, you know, I'm keeping an eye on this one. I think there are going to be some other players out there.
Let's go, Jason. What do you think they are going to do about their whole agenda falling, like Klaus Schwab resigning? You've got Melinda Gates resigning, about hundreds of major corporate resignations at big banks. What's behind that?
Well, let's talk about Melinda Gates, because she's actually launched a new foundation. So I think that she's just trying to get away from the negative press of her former husband. When you talk about Klaus Schwab, he is stepping down as the head, but he will still be in a chairman's role somewhere in the background. I think they want some rebranding. They want to put a new face out there because the guy does talk and act like a Bond villain. But at the same time, you know, kind of talking about the World Economic Forum and possible players that are meeting that are not on the list. I know that you.
Oh, we lost you again. Jason, are you still with us?
Sorry about that, guys. I'm on a good internet connection. I don't understand.
It's okay. Just keep going.
So continuing on, when looking at some of the possible players that may come in, you know, Barack Obama was there in 2008, again, as you documented, not on the list. Last year in Lisbon, Portugal, Yuval Noah Harari showed up, and no one talked about it. He actually gave a lecture in Lisbon, Portugal. You would think that he's also having meetings with some of the Bilderberg members. So really, I'm going to be keeping my eye out for those not on the list that have their photograph taken and really looking into what we see in the coming days and weeks.
I agree. What do you predict with the show trial in New York?
I think they're going to find him guilty, Alex. I've been saying it from the very beginning. They want that guilty verdict. They've stacked the deck against him. The only question is when and how they put him in an actual jail cell. You know, I remember interviewing Roger Stone, I think about a year and a half ago, and positing this. And he said, you know, this is only going to make him more popular. I don't know if they're going to try to pull the rug from under him. Obviously, they want that narrative. If they can take him off the ballot in key due to some chicanery, I think that that is the plan. But at the same time, we're in the wildest election after the wildest election in 2020 we've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody should be bored right now. Jason Burmis, great point. Thank you for calling. All right, I'm going to go to more comments, and then we got London Real, producer, documentary filmmaker, Mr. Rose coming in here. You're going to ride shotgun with us. But I got to do this or we won't be here. I need your support. I need you to support our sponsor, plus their amazing products. I need you to make the decision to like, wow, InfoWars is really important. They've done some amazing things. The globalists want them shut down. Okay, well, it's good to fund us and get great products at the same time. Got a big sale going. A bunch of products came back in, limited supply. DrJonesNaturals.com. DrJonesNaturals.com. It's my dad's site, shopping cart, amazing products. Next Level Foundational Energy cleans out your DNA, cleans out your telomeres, cleans out your mitochondria. Isn't a stimulant, but it has a massive stimulant effect with no letdown. Next Level Foundational Energy is discounted at DrJonesNaturals.com. All the nano silver products with the iodine, all of it's there, up to 40% off. Primal energy, immune support. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. An incredible organic multivitamin, super high quality, 25% off, all at drjonesnaturals.com. There are so many great products there, like the nano silver toothpaste with the iodine, the tree tree, no fluoride, concentrated, no additives, no fillers. It lasts twice as long as regular toothpaste, and it's so good for you. It's all at drjonesnaturals.com. And I'm firing the bat signal. I'm saying, I need your support. I'm not asking for straight up donations. I'm saying, go to my sponsor, support drjonesnaturals.com today, because whatever happens to InfoWars, that's going to be a key sponsor in the future. drjonesnaturals.com. And then InfoWarsStore.com has the summer kickoff mega sale, the biggest sale of the year yet. DNA Force Plus, incredible, 40% off. X3, the triiodine that's the missing link in your body, 40% off. There are so many other great products like Ultra 12, the highest quality B12 organic, taken out of the tongue for better absorption, 40% off. And so many other great products at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Get a copy of one of my two new books. The first one came out 2 years ago, The Great Reset and the War for the World. The newest book, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists, Launch the Next Great Renaissance. Both books you can get signed or unsigned. The signed is a fundraiser. Get those limited editions of the signed left. I want to thank you for your support. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. So go now. Water filtration, storable food, 10% off. That's a huge sale because there's not much markup there. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. Again, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And then whatever you do, mark it down, take action. I'm asking for your support. I'm asking you to take action. DrJonesNaturals.com for the nano silver products, for the Next Level Foundational Energy, for the green fiber caps. They're so amazing. They're all there. Take action now. DrJonesNaturals.com. It's that simple. You say you want to help. You want great products at the same time. Victory is about action. It's not like you're betting on a show that, reaches a few thousand people or, maybe, no, we're the zeitgeist. We reach millions, but we cannot do it without your financing, your backing. So back freedom, stand up for yourself, stand the way of the New World Order, drjonesnaturals.com. Go there now. I need your support. drjonesnaturals.com. That's it. It's up to you, folks. I am in your hands. You are in my hands. I need your support now at drjonesnaturals.com. All right, more X-Spaces comments. And then Brian Rose of London Real with his new film coming in.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, Vitality Enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We are back live. Hour number 3. We're hosting all 4 hours today. Chase Geyser's here. We got Brian Rose of London Real riding shotgun with us. We'll host right through into the fourth hour today. Viva Fry, other lawyers coming up on the Trump verdict watch in New York. Let's go to more speakers on X, Chase.
All right, let's go to Prometheus. Prometheus, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say if you're still with us.
Amen. Of course I'm here with you, Chase. Such an honor. Brian, so good to see you, my friend. Alex, as usual, brother. I've been praying in the Holy Spirit before coming online and speaking to you. And God has been giving me a couple of words directly about yourself, Alex. So if you will just allow me to begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for these warriors who are at this final hour before your return. We know that you have a master plan, a master chess move that you are unfurling upon this earth right here, right now. And I thank you, Lord, for being with such amazing warriors. Amen. All right.
I accept that. I accept that and ask God to make that so.
Amen, sir. Amen, as always. So the first thing, Alex, that the Lord spoke to me about is that he wants you to deeply relax, not relax in the sense of like giving up, but I hope you hear me in the spirit now, brother.
God's been telling me to do that. That's funny you say that. I agree with that.
Exactly. So that's confirmation, right? This is the Holy Spirit moving between us both as fractals of the great I am oneness node that we are, right? it's moving like a ping pong ball, right? All right. So the first thing is to relax. Why? Because it is the relaxed muscle that has the most power. You'll be able to punch with the most brutality through the Holy Spirit, but it's a gentle brutality. It is to even remind these fools who are destroying our beloved earth, you know, the coming kingdom of God. We have to feel even repentance and passion, compassion for them. And I know you know that. I know at a deep level you actually know that. You've expressed that so many times. So that's the first thing. The next thing he told me to say to you is that do not fear about your financial woes, my friend. You are about to see abundance like you have never seen before, all right? Brian Rose is there. The man's a crypto expert. You know, there's a lot of token-gated services and a bunch of other things that you can explore. We can have a chat about this another time, but the general message was very simple and clear. Like the whole, whatever you're in, remember Donald Trump was billions in debt, all right? He walked past beggars. And he said, you know, that man is richer than I am because they don't have to pay that debt back. And guess what? God used him. He pulled him out in the private business life to prepare him for the presidency where he is going to bring America out of this debt hole, okay? Trust that he is absolutely going to do this, because there, you know, when was the last time you heard the Federal Reserve, right, having its rates being dictated by a quote-unquote former president, okay? Look at his bodyguards. Look at his entourage.
By the way, let me just agree with you. The message you're saying is God's telling me be at peace. We're winning. Don't stress out. Just move forward and fight as hard as you can, but be calm when you do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I hope this is just confirmation for your spirit. And by the way, the same is true for everyone listening to this broadcast and beyond, all right? Another word he said, and you've been doing it this broadcast, is to go back on the road. Go back on the road, my friend. Go do what you're great at. Okay, God gave you...
Oh, no, my enemies have been trying to keep me off the road, so we're going to do a lot of that soon.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be afraid to be funny. All right, he put a master comedian in you, my friend, all right? Wink, wink, all right? Bring that man back. He is ready to come back for his, like, the greatest shows ever. We're talking, you know, like Dave Chappelle when he comes back, but way, way better, all right? That's something like that is coming.
My brother, call us again. We got to go. We've got Brian Rose coming in the studio. We're going to play trailers for his new film that is incredible. He's also given us the codes to stream it free, so this afternoon... or maybe tomorrow, it'll be streamed out on X. He wants us to do it. We're honored to do it. We will not be silenced. Film, freedomplatform.tv. Brian Rose is coming up while we simulcast on X. We've got 2 hours left, or an hour and 55 minutes and 20 seconds left here live. Stay with us.
Your cardiovascular system is under attack. Everybody knows it. I've got in my hands two products that are absolutely insane when it comes to what they do for your body and your overall health. One of them is the highest grade fish oil you can find. Everybody knows how good fish oil is. This is as good as it gets. And when you purchase it at InfoWarsStore.com, you support the broadcast of 360 Win. And then, of course, Nitric Boost. You've heard all the rage about this. A whole bunch of concentrated natural compounds that clean out your blood and clean out your cardiovascular system. Everybody should be taking both of these products at InfoWarsStore.com. And both of them, by the way, are 40% off for a limited time. Now, this sale is going to end in about 2 weeks because we've already sold out of more than half of these products since they came back in. But if you want to get Ultimate Fish Oil and Nitric Boost for 40% off, get them both today at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for supporting the broadcast. I want to thank you all for spreading the word, because without you, we are nothing.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
A lot of people came up to me and said, Brian, like, why did you even do this? You could have stayed at home. Why did you put your business on the line? Why did you put your reputation on the line? And the truth is, probably like a lot of you here, it's just not in my DNA to do that. This is our fight for this most basic fundamental human right, and that is freedom of speech. It's that simple. We've been doing this for 12 years. We've made a lot of pieces of content. Now, a lot of you know, about 30 days ago, London Real was completely deplatformed from YouTube. There were 2.3 million people in the world that were subscribing to my content. Now, a trillion-dollar technology company has come in the middle and said, no, you can no longer talk to each other. This gets no mainstream media coverage. This is a violation of a fundamental human right, and it's happening right in front of our eyes every single day. And I believe this is our most important fight for all of humanity.
Free speech is meaningless unless you allow people you don't like to say things you don't like. Otherwise, it's irrelevant. And if at the point at which you lose free speech, it doesn't come back.
And if we don't stand up and fight for these rights, we are looking about a future where we're no longer in control and we are being controlled. And so it was against my DNA to just sit back. And so we went all in and fought as hard as we could. With a small team in London, with a bigger team around the world, we call the London Real Army. We fought back and we won. Out there, and ultimately to a live stream of 1 million people, and we showed them that we are more powerful than they are. Because ultimately, we will not be silenced, we will not be censored, and we will not be stopped.
has identified the cause of a mysterious new virus.
Over the past few weeks, our entire world has been transformed.
You must stay at home.
Our freedoms have now been replaced with fear.
We need all the protection that we can get.
Now governments dictate what is allowed to be said. But today we will not be silenced. And 1 million people will be watching. I prepared my whole life for a moment like this. But nothing would prepare for what happened next.
This is London Real. I am Brian Rose. My guest today is David Icke.
What happened after that broadcast, Brian?
London Real had an interview with David Icke. Was removed from YouTube. If you take that guy off, you just make him bigger.
What the hell just happened?
Have you ever lost the only thing that makes you feel alive?
You are only one piece of content away from termination.
This is the story about how we got censored.
There is no COVID-19.
How we put everything on the line for what we believed in.
They picked the wrong guy to fight with.
How we were betrayed.
Fuck the BBC.
How we fought back.
We are freedom, and we'll accept nothing less.
And expose the truth.
Who benefits? He who most benefits from a crime is the one most likely to have committed it.
Who is telling me what I can and can't say?
So it will never happen again.
I want to be with Brian Rose and David Icke. That is the future, and that will never be defeated. Okay. I love Brian Rose. I've been watching him for 5-6 years.
I am more powerful than they are, and they freaking know.
That's right. So I love Brian Rose, and I'm super honored. Weeks ago, he said he was coming to town. I thought the film had already come out. I didn't know he's premiering it today at 4 p.m. at Real Alex Jones and at Brian B. Rose and London Real TV. So 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. You're going to be on Owen's show during it. But separately, we're going to put on the front page of Infowars.com, Real Alex Jones. The film is amazing. And it's the whole story of what's happened in the last 4 years. This is a real rallying call right now to try to stop the new push for censorship we're seeing everywhere. So Brian Rose is the founder and host and CEO of London Real. Brian left a successful career as a banker in Wall Street in the city of London to start London Real. His life up until this point has delivered on the promises of his university education, MIT, and his personal ambitions, but he felt empty. So he quit his job and started the podcast to share his journey. He fought resistance to turn London Real into a new generation media business with half a billion views, more than that now, and 2 million plus subscribers. Brian has conducted over 500 in-depth interviews. And as the antidote to the numbing effects of the corporate mainstream media, Brian also founded London Real Academy, offering online personal mentorship and courses designed to help you transform yourself. LondonReal.tv, at LondonRealTV, and Brian Rose, Brian B. Rose on X. And we've got Chase here riding shotgun with the X. Folks, we'll go through some. You're happy to host into the fourth hour with him. That is fabulous. So instead of an hour, we've got 2 hours. We get an hour break and then go on with Owen in his second hour. But let me just say congratulations on everything you've done. And early on when the censorship started, so many people buckled. Now that we're winning, a lot of folks have joined us, which is fine. We're not mad at them. We got to accept them in. But you, day one, when everybody else was being banned having me on, you said, I want you on because of the fact you're being banned, and you got censored partly because of that. So I see that as a real, you know, sign of the real McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, this is the movie that Silicon Valley doesn't want you to see because it's a detailed case study of the censorship apparatus of the 21st century. And you remember back in 2020, I was minding my own business. I was a ex-banker turned podcaster inspired by Joe Rogan. I was on Rogan's show in 13, and I was just interviewing people. COVID hit. And then, boom, on April 6th of 2020, we had the second largest YouTube live stream in the world with my conversation with David Icke. 30 minutes later, they deleted and banned the video. I was a darling of YouTube. I was in their partnership program. I'd made them millions of dollars. But that was the tip of the spear of censorship for COVID. And they tried to shut me down, shut my business down, ruin my reputation. This movie is about us fighting back and winning. And you reached out to me. And you heavily supported us during that time. You gave me a lot of good advice, Alex, including asking my community to help us build the digital freedom platform. And we streamed to 1 million people live for that final episode as just a final kind of an up yours to big tech and showing them that we will not be silenced, we will not be censored, and we will not be stopped.
You got the floor here. Tell me about, for people that don't know, about the film that's premiering today at 4 p.m. Central in just 2 hours and 45 minutes.
You know, a lot of people don't understand that censorship is real. I think it's our most important fight of the generation. And as Elon Musk says, censorship only applies to people you don't like saying things that you don't want to hear. And he also says that once you lose freedom of speech, you never get it back. And so I tell my personal story of exactly what happened to me in 2020. And the truth is, Alex, is it's still happening today, even worse. 8 months ago, I was completely deplatformed from YouTube. All 7 of my channels, including my personal channel from 07 with videos of my kids on holiday, completely taken off because of the trailer for this film. So a movie about censorship has now been censored. YouTube is the biggest censor of a generation. And we got to hold these people accountable. It's a basic human right. It's a civil right. And it's not just happening in the Twitter files. It's happening in every corporation in America. And it actually starts at the top in the government. And so we go through this entire process so people will never forget. And we can fight back. That's what this is all about.
And when you say censorship is everything, it is, because censorship of us talking about everything is everything. Humans want freedom. They want prosperity. They want competition. They want enlightenment. They want unity. Not through some corporate force communist Borg, but through individual actions of recognizing what's best and coming together. So it is everything because it is everything. And, you know, the fact that they have come after you so hard shows how desperate they are. This is not the sign of strength. This is a sign of weakness. And I've talked to high-level executives, billionaires, globalists, I've had meetings off record with them. They said, no, we saw you as a joke in, you know, 2010 and 2015, all that. It wasn't until 2016 they didn't see us as a joke anymore because they were so arrogant. So we really got the jump on them. Now they've come in to try to silence everybody. That's backfired, created a real hunger and a real, you know, that outlaw country effect. Because outlaw country just wanted to smoke pot and make jokes. It was Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson and Waylon Jennings. They went from being kicked out of Nashville in like 1970, and I'm just ballparking it, and I know those guys, by the way, they've told me the stories, but the point is, it's well documented. And by 1977, 78, they were more than half, 4 guys, the entire gross of country music, because they didn't do what they were told, and people said, well, I want the outlaw, I want the Hank Williams Jr. But they were just singing songs about drinking moonshine and pot, and they didn't want that in Hollywood. Basically, Hollywood controlled Nashville. This is about the future of our humanity, our medical rights, our bodies. I mean, this is the real outlaw country, folks. This is the real rebel. This is the real Dukes of Hazzard happening right now.
You know, everyone thinks that censorship happens to the weirdo until it happens to you. And it happened to you in 2018. Some people notice. Happened to me in 2020. And as people get canceled and they get censored, they start to realize it can happen to anyone. And it's going to stop all human progress. We always want more ideas. The best idea will always come to the top. And when they start censoring things, you know you're over the target. And so if you have people to support you like you supported me in 2020, you can push forward. But the immediate reaction is to pull back. For me, I remember that day, Alex. It was on April 6th when they pulled that video. I had a visceral, angry response, and my immediate thing was to re-upload it and then upload a vlog complaining about
it. You were being robbed.
Yeah. It's something. It's not
of your essence, of you.
Yes.
Your car doesn't matter, folks. Your house doesn't matter compared to your mind.
Something in my DNA knew that was wrong. And yes, it's in the Constitution. And yes, it's in the law. But something deep and down inside knew that something was being taken away from me by an organization who had no business interfering my communication with another human being that, by the way, wanted to listen to what I had to say. Because that's the thing about freedom of speech. It's not only my right to speak, but it's your right to listen to me and make your own opinion. That's being denied on a regular basis. Our big tech are our worst offenders, but so many other corporations are offending us. And this will get worse. And once you lose it, you cannot get it back.
They're raping our free will.
Very much so. And I recently reread 1984. It's a dark book. But that is where technology has gone so far and the surveillance state is so high, there is no undoing that. We are on the precipice of that happening with CBDCs, with the censorship. This is our most important fight. We need everybody to be on board. And yet most people are walking around blind without a cane. They just subscribe to the Google services and they don't even know I'm censored. Because censorship works. When you silence people, they silence the ideas, unless we all fight back together, and that's what you're doing here as well.
That's why you could be black, brown, white, Christian, Catholic, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, agnostic, gay, straight. You're out there watching. You have the real power when you promote something, when you create your own information, whether it's gardening or whether it's praying or whether it's playing a violin or a piano. All of that is original content from you. And what Brian said is key. The globalists admit they want AI to control everything. It's people like Trump and Tucker Carlson and Brian Rose and Joe Rogan. They're just already popular, and the system is scared and angry that they organically are so popular when Hollywood and the sports and all of it is failing. The system is very jealous. The NSA admits they're very jealous of popular people. It's not that you're even fighting them. It's that you're doing your own thing. And so that's why when the grassroots realizes that supporting and promoting true, authentic human culture, real diversity, is like sunshine to a vampire. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, and again, if it wasn't for X, if it wasn't for the moves of Elon Musk, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. The discourse in America couldn't even be having this conversation. And we've got to take this and move it with more momentum and push back further. I think humans, they know authenticity when they feel it and they see it. But because of the tech, because of the AI, because of everything that's coming, we can lose it, and we can lose it in a heartbeat. I'm telling the story of what happened to me with YouTube and Google and Facebook. We are streaming this on X because it is the only major platform that still respects freedom of speech. And you can say what you want about Elon Musk. He is enabling free speech.
I was about to say, we're like a snail on a straight razor, to quote Apocalypse Now. And let's bring up David Icke. I've invited him on the show. Hopefully he'll come on soon. I think David's an icon, a very wonderful person. I love him so much. I get he's a purist, but you've helped amplify him. He's amplified you. Some of the biggest interviews ever are your interviews with David. It's literally Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, and David Icke with Brian Rose. I mean, those are some of the top 5-10 interviews, and you didn't censor David, and I'm not spanking David here. He just says I'm this mainstream alternative media. No, I'm not. I don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I see Elon getting better and better and better. He's doing a bunch of bad stuff too. I call that out. But boom, we're back. We're reaching tens of millions a day. Whatever it is, I can't then just say, oh, this sucks, and then everything I say suddenly has no value just because Elon Musk is letting it get out. It's our listeners that are promoting it. Elon's just letting him promote it. And so I would love to maybe actually get Elon in an interview, which I think we can probably do, and maybe have David on with him. Because, that's what this is about, is engaging people. I know David's not as scared to talk to him, so I think we should do that.
Look, David has some incredible ideas. Those three interviews we did in 2020, they literally changed the world.
They did. You guys were up front. David called it all up. He knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, and because of everything we had prepared for 10 years at London Real, we were in the right place at the right time, and we were able to put out that content in our studio. And again, hundreds of millions of people watched, changed the dialogue. And David really opened a lot of people's minds when they knew something fundamentally was wrong. They knew they couldn't trust our mainstream media, but they didn't know why. In that sense, we still need X, and it's crucial in what's happening. And so I disagree.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I'm not even trying to call David out. He calls me out all the time, and it won't return our emails. And so he'll probably say, oh, I missed your emails. I get it. I love David, but I'm saying he loves you, and you're saying Elon's doing good. I just can't look at something positive and then just say throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's my point.
For me, any instrument of freedom is a net positive. You can look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin is now being used by Wall Street executives in the ETF. Some people say that's a corruption of this. I disagree. Any instrument that increases our freedom is something that we want to promote, and that's exactly what X is. Let's not kid ourselves. There's no way that millions of people could not watch this movie today if it wasn't because of what Elon's doing with the bold moves at X. And again, even InfoWars, so many people can now see your content because of what Elon's doing. So yeah, I'd love to see that debate with David. Perhaps we can agree to disagree. We need everybody out there fighting for our freedom.
Well, that's my point is I'm not in a competition who's the best, who's the purest. I am trying to be the purest, best person I can, but we all see through rose-colored darkly, as the Bible tells us. So I only brought that up because, yeah, you're singing Elon's praises. We're not in some Elon fan club. I'm in the fan club of where I'm reaching tens of millions of people a day. And the left goes in and flags it and tries to block it, and we see that. But it doesn't matter. We are kicking some ass.
And there's no other tech platform where you can do that right now, right? YouTube won't allow you to do that. Instagram, Meta won't allow you to do that. There's no other platform that will. And so X is that bastion of hope right now, and it will force the other platforms to change.
It's happening. So speculation, Brian Rose, and I'm going to ask Chase Geiser this right in shotgun, and we'll go to some spaces. It's all the same subject. Why do you think Elon's doing what he's doing?
I think, personally, deep down inside, he believes in freedom of speech. I also think he's not from this country. And when he used to think and believe and dream about America, he idealized everything that we supposedly stand for, and he wants to be a part of making that happen in the future. At the end of the day, I don't even care why. All I know is that he's doing it. The proof is in the pudding.
About to say, proof's in the pudding.
It is, plain and simple, and that's it. We can now use this platform, and every other platform will change, just like when Spotify took on Rogan, YouTube relaxed their rules. And if we continue with X, then the other platforms will have to at least adjust what they're doing, and maybe we can get freedom of speech.
Yeah, I would ask David, anyway. should we give it back to Soros? That's a really random before. Should we just end any freedom on X?
Yeah, exactly. That's not the alternative we want. So clearly this is the right step. Can we do more? Yes. So maybe split that debate up.
I'd love it. Are you kidding? That's what we do. Chase Geiser, great points by Brian Rose. I'm so honored. I thought the movie was out in a few days. He's like, oh, we'll stream it on your show. And I'm like, well, thanks.
What better place to stream?
And I didn't realize it's premiering at 4 p.m. today, Central. Okay, wow, thank you. I'm blown away.
What better place?
Well, thank you. Sorry I missed the memo. You're like, we're going to stream it on your show. I'm like, sure. And I'm like, wait, it's exclusively here? Thank you. You want to comment on what he's saying?
Well, on the Elon Musk issue, I think a lot of Americans have a really hard time understanding what it's like to be worth $100 billion. Under Bidenomics, we're all struggling. We're going to the grocery store and coming out with less than is on our list. But it seems to me that once you reach a certain level of wealth like that, you can go one of two ways. You can go the way of vanity, and you can go the way of principle. So once you have everything you want, like Donald Trump or like Elon Musk, then what's left other than your conscience and satisfaction? So some people go straight sociopathic vanity way. And I think Musk has accomplished all of these, much of the success that he ever hoped for. And now that's why he's making these plays, because what else is there than his conscience?
No, he is a maverick. And I've studied Musk and read the books about him years ago, but kind of sidelined it. Because, like, oh, he gets these opportunists. They're going to fund electric cars. He funds it. They're going to go for self-driving, all this. He got all the big money. But when he got the real power, he flipped over to us because he wants to be a real maverick. And folks can deny and say he isn't a maverick, which he's a maverick's maverick. Taking over X and having Brazil and Australia and the EU and the U.S. government prepare criminal charges, baby, that's what Tom Cruise wishes he was when he played Maverick. That's Maverick as hell.
Yeah, he overpaid for $1 billion. Turning that around is going to be a nightmare. Again, that media platform hurts all of his other businesses, potentially his entire net worth.
And he said that, anyways. But he said free speech is king.
Exactly.
So that's money where the mouth, I'm sorry interrupting. That's money where the mouth is.
Right. What more proof do you need?
But I'm gushing because it's Maverick. I mean, it's like, why would I be mad when we start getting victory? Like, what the hell?
Imagine where we'd be without it.
Look, America was popular and the whole world adopted what we did when we beat the British Empire. Like, why do we keep thinking we're losers? Why do we keep thinking freedom can't win?
Yes, it can. And we have proof that it can right now. And we need everybody to come along with us and keep fighting for this, because we can lose it like this.
And I've been interrupting the last 5 points. You got the floor for until we got a break.
Yeah, look, most people are oblivious that this is still an issue. And I'd say to anybody out there, just wake up and realize that everything you're looking at on that mobile device is being censored in some way, shape, or form. All of your mainstream media outlets, the same thing is happening. And you have to go deeper and find out what's going on and fight for this right, because it will happen to you and it'll corrupt everything that we've been working for. So it's an important fight. We wanted to drop the movie to show what happened 4 years ago, but it's still happening today. And again, YouTube recently deplatformed me entirely. 13 years of work, 1 billion views, 14,000 videos, my entire life.
Because of this film.
Because of this film. The trailer for that film you just played took all of our channels down. And again, no questions asked, no appeal, no nothing. And that's the way these organizations roll. They're ruthless, and they are coming for you next.
Tell us how people make this film. You want it free, which is great, but how they make it? People say, oh, free, well, who cares? No, it's a very well-produced film, very powerful. People need to make this movie huge.
I want it watched 100, 200 million times. I want people to see it and really understand what happened. This is my personal story. You know, I was just minding my own business as an independent media person, and all of a sudden they stepped on my toes, and I knew I had to fight back. everybody can do this. I want as many people to watch this movie. I want to continue this fight for freedom of speech. I want people to recognize what X has brought us and how we can even take it further across all platforms. That's the ultimate win for me. So if people can watch it and share it and get it in front of the eyeballs and consider these points and support independent media like InfoWars and everybody else, that's the message.
Ryan Rose, stay there. Folks, that's what it comes down to. We're not looking for a fight. But we're getting our heads pounded in. And as men and women, we got to, at a certain point, say, you know what? I'm done laying down. And that's what this story is about with Brian Rose. Because when you start laying down, that's all you do. And it's been good men and women that have built the good civilization. We've been through a lot of hell, fought a lot of dictators, a lot of nasty people. If we make it through this next struggle, I'm telling you, human potential is just unlimited. Because I want that life extension they're suppressing. I want it for me and my kids and my family. So there's a lot of stuff they're suppressing, not just censoring you. They're censoring a lot of science that we need access to. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil.
I just want to acknowledge your leadership and your ability to see around corners. Again and again and again, you have been labeled as a conspiracy theorist and a nutcase for speaking the truth that you were able to perceive earlier than many people. And I'm in your debt, and I think we're all in your debt for your courageous actions over these many years. You've been vilified and denigrated and gaslit and everything else. I've received a small taste of what you've been through, and I don't like it very much. So I certainly appreciate and empathize with everything you've been through, and thank you for being the hero that you are and not backing down in the face of all the crap that's been thrown at you.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now. Why do you think the globalists are desperately trying to censor everybody? Why are they attacking myself and Donald Trump and Elon Musk and everybody else? Because they can't get through this giant megalomaniacal power grab if we're here exposing them. But we're not just exposing their operation. In my new book, we give you the solutions to build a new, better world, an alternative to Klaus Schwab's You Will Eat the Bugs. This is the Great Awakening, the plan to defeat the globalist and launch the second great renaissance. It's a companion to my last book that was a number one worldwide bestseller. And this book is even thicker and even more powerful. Get your copy of The Great Awakening today at InfoWarsStore.com, either signed as a fundraiser, and I thank you for the support, or unsigned. But whatever you do, take action now. We're fighting for you, but we can't keep on if you don't support us. So please, get the historic book now. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com and get The Great Awakening. The Great Awakening at InfoWarsStore.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me.
He never gives up. He's Alex Jones, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, worldwide.
Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb.
All right, we are doing a simulcast on Spaces X. We've got comments on the Trump trial, the lawfare. Brian Rose is going to ride shotgun through the fourth hour. That's coming up. Viva Fry, great lawyer, experts joining us, and some others are popping in, but we will not be silenced. Freedomplatform.tv. Brian Rose is here. Brian, my greatest pleasure in life, other than my wife and my children, I mean, obviously that's number one. You saw the NFL kicker say the best thing in life is your wife and children, and women love their children more than anything. And they said, how dare him? Well, that's your father. That's a no brainer. You have children. But the second best thing is I get to know the real men and women. The real people that aren't cowards, the real people that have spirit that won't bow down. And to me, this is where they say the journey is the destination. This journey is amazing. It'd be so easy. I've been offered a lot of money. I'm sure I never asked you this. I would imagine they, did they give you any offers to like sell out before they clamped down on you? Or maybe they knew you wouldn't sell out, so they didn't ask. They asked me, thinking maybe I was immoral. Is that not the most valuable thing in your life? And can you speak to the experience of being to meet all these incredible people?
Yeah, well, first of all, they tried to shut me down because 95% of my business was based on YouTube. So they thought that would get me to stop and to comply and to shut up. But something inside of me just wouldn't let that happen. I still remember my first conversation with you on InfoWars, Alex. You encouraged me to ask for help from my supporters to get to the next level. And that was the hardest thing I ever did, Alex. I never asked for anything. I hate asking for help. I always feel like it's a sign of weakness.
But you're helping them too. They get it.
Yeah, and it was the right thing to do. And because of their support, we created the Digital Freedom Platform and we took it to the next level.
I remember you looked at me and you said, really? And yeah. I said, yeah, dude, they get, because that was early on in the attacks when nobody else was standing up. I was like, dude, people are going to rally to your aid.
Yeah, we were really early. Again, this is March, April, May of 20. And we were right at the tip of that spear, one of the first people to really put out those controversial conversations. A lot of great people came later, but we were right there on the edge. And so we had to fight that initial pushback.
By the way, those were devastating interviews. I walked into my parents' house. My mom barely watches YouTube. She's watching you. The next day I walk in on like a Saturday, my wife's watching you and David Icke. I'm like, oh my God. Then I'm at Barton Springs a week later. There's a family watching you on an iPad. I was like, oh my God, you broke through.
I mean, I was getting text messages from people I hadn't heard from in high school. And I'm like, what's going on here? They're like, we're watching you. We're watching you.
Isn't hitting the zeitgeist beautiful? Cause you get humanity's resonating with freedom.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm interrupting. Tell me more.
No, and so there we were right there at the tip of the spear and they're pushing back and I hadn't experienced that before. But when I finally asked and reached out to the people like you told me to do, then they rallied around us and they made everything possible and they allowed us to fight back. So it's a big lesson for me, maybe for lessons out for people out there. You can't do it alone. And we all have to support each other in pushing back. And if you don't think this is going to happen to you, it is. They're going to start taking away your human rights. And that's why this story is important to embrace, because it's going to happen to all of us sooner or later. And so, again, we were really early, and we were almost that case study for what came later.
Well, you were. But that's the – it's not like you're just saying they're coming after you. You're an economist. You're a successful banker guy. Explain. The CBDC, the ESGs, the carbon tax, it's designed for everybody. That when Trump says they're trying to get through me to get to you, it's true. Like they want to screw everybody. They already are.
Yeah, and it's a huge apparatus. And again, they're looking to censor information about everything that is in their interests. It starts at the very top in the government. I recently had a guy on named Mike Benz who really studies the entire government.
He's amazing.
He's incredible. And he was at my movie premiere in Myrtle Beach where we won Best International Documentary Film. And Mike was laughing during the movie. And he was the only guy I was watching as he watched the movie. And later he said, Brian, I know exactly what was happening to you behind the scenes while you were struggling at the tip of the spear. I know the social graphs they were mapping out. I know the keywords they were looking at. They started in November 19, then moved it to January 20, and he could literally see the playbook being run against us. In the meantime, Alex, I was sitting there oblivious to what happened. People said don't believe in conspiracies when Dropbox and then Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube all deplatformed me. PayPal suspended me. And meanwhile, I found out later that it was all being orchestrated by government organizations. So the Twitter files helped teach us that. Mike was involved in the Twitter files. And now it's interesting to see what was actually happening behind the scenes. Thank God for people like Mike. It's also telling us this didn't just happen at Twitter. It happens in every major corporation. And it's ultimately directed by the government.
Yeah, and not to top your story, I never tell about stuff that's journalistic. When I'm mainly a pundit and give my own personal opinion, but I wear a journalist hat. So I've been invited the last 4 or 5 years. And Roger Ailes tried to give me a Fox job, and they tried to give me, you know, Clear Channel, all that stuff, and I said no to that. That was one level 15 years ago. But I've been invited to some well-known billionaires' houses, and they didn't try to get me to sell out. They're actually like, hey, if you just join us, you'll have a seat at the table. Because this is so dangerous, but we don't even know what to do. So I don't think that was even them with a sales job. They're even now in the establishment understanding that the New World Order plan they had is not going to work, but then it has its own inertia. It's already been turned loose. They don't know what to do. I think that's why we have to understand we're not little outsiders trying to warn the establishment or get them to, or back them off. The establishment is inherited wealth is like a self fulfilling prophecy or a perpetual motion machine, and a lot of the people on it don't like where it's going either. They just don't know even how to change it. Does that make sense?
Yes. It's not one person. It's not one directive. It's not one agency. It's got so much momentum now that even they can't stop it. But one thing that I learned in my fight, and you learned probably here through InfoWars, is that it only takes a small group of people, a massive, what I call London Real Army around the world, to change it. These institutions aren't as big as we think they are. They're not as powerful as we think they are. It just needs some people to fight back. And that's why our movie's a story of hope. And you're an example of that. And people need to know we can change this narrative. We can.
Well, let's talk about they've got war. They've got economic crises for control. They use COVID. That blew up in their face. I'm not putting your words in your mouth. Tell me if you think that happened. I think it did. What do they do next? I mean, lawfare's not working.
You know, fear is the instrument, and that's what we showed in our film. Fear is that instrument that gets everyone to run, that gets everyone to change their value systems. And so they'll continue to use that in every way, shape, or form. We saw the WHO recently back down on their pandemic preparedness treaty. It's coming back. You see what's going on with the war. You see what's going on with the AI. There'll always be something that can introduce that fear. And so I think we all need to understand as humanity to avoid that knee-jerk reaction to comply and to sell out your values in the face of fear. And we all know what fear is. One of my mentors used to say fear is F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. Once you push through, you realize it's actually a phantom that causes you to behave in a way that's not necessary. And that's what I learned when I pushed back against YouTube. It wasn't that strong. And we were able to do that live stream in the end and change the narrative.
Chase, I want to go to some X spaces that are on the Trump situation that ties into this. Why, Ryan Rose, why do you think they're so threatened by Trump? And obviously everything they've done is blown up their face. Where do you think they go from here?
It's been fascinating to watch, and obviously this trial is a huge pivotal moment, but regardless, it seems to just making him more and more popular. I live in London. We're watching this from afar, and people are trying to figure out exactly what's going on. We also see recently an about-face when it comes to the current President Biden on crypto, because he saw Trump talking about crypto, and it's just amazing to see everything coming down to this election. They clearly see so much power in him. I worry about his safety. I also wonder what happens in this country post-election, regardless of the result, because there's so much tension here and there's so much riding on this single election. What do you think is going to happen today?
Well, that's all they've got left is expanding war, which they're trying to do with Russia, and false flags to do horrible things or wind up crazy people. Like the attempted kidnapping of Whitmer, that was an FBI operation that came out in court. That I mean, that's really all they've got left. They were planning an economic collapse if they could pose as the saviors. They know they're going to get the blame, so they don't know what to do. But the collapse they kind of set up at the end of the old economic order, which you're an expert on, is coming to an end. So they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. You're right. crypto is so popular and doing such a great job that they want to attack it, but then their own people all own it. I mean, it's a really schizophrenic, paradoxical moment.
Look, the money and the inflation, I think, is putting everyone in fear. That's another control mechanism that they have. They're going to use. We're down to the wire here. I saw your ticker earlier. We're, 6 months out. And this verdict's going to be interesting. But if they get what they want with this lawfare, it's going to end up being not what they want. Because if they try to convict, I believe it's going to make him more popular.
All right, I'm going to tell a story to the viewers right now. Because I never took college for marketing. I never took broadcasting. I started on Access TV 30 years ago. Got a local show a year later. Got syndicated 3 years later. I've been syndicated for 27 years. But I did learn how brains work. So if I come on air with a huge story that I've got ready and just announce it the first show, a few million see it, it's a little blurb, but it's no big deal. But if I build it up for 5 days and make a big deal about it, like Searchlights, the old movie premieres, everybody cares, it has a huge effect. So I have this thing where I want to immediately always say, next hour I'm going to cover this, and then I cover it right then, because I just want to tell you now. But it's something very, very important to understand about dealing with this, that when people are just given something, they don't appreciate it. So I learned very early on, 27, 28 years ago in my first film, selling coffee mugs and a newsletter like other talk shows. I was like, how do I make more money? Well, you have to fund things. You put out a newsletter, put a coffee mug or t-shirt. And I said, no. I said, I want to make films because I want to prove what I'm saying. Immediately, I was selling 100,000, of my new films. Suddenly, I had a bunch of money. Not a ton, but a couple million bucks. I was hiring crew. I was buying better computers. I wasn't shooting VHS anymore. I was shooting DV cam, 27 years ago. But I noticed that when I would come out with a DVD, if I put it up for pre-sale in the 2 months before pre-sale, I would sell more than I sold in the year when it was available. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing is this purest thing of, here's my movie. Looks like multi-million-dollar budget, all these huge interviews, promoted for a year, winning all these awards. And you're like, oh, by the way, it's free today. I don't want people to sit there because something is so amazing and free and take it for granted. I want you to appreciate we will not be silenced when this comes out today. And when it goes on London Real Freedom Platform.tv, when it's on London Real TV and Brian B. Rose, we're going to stream it everywhere. I want you to take it serious that somebody bucked the censors, kicked ass, took action, made a powerful film, and then gave it to you because he believes in you. So there's that paradox of you give people something free they don't appreciate it. I hope people see through that paradox.
You know, what's interesting is this is the first movie we ever made that we submitted to film festivals. The reason we did that is because YouTube deplatformed me on September 4th, right before the premiere. We would normally put our movies right on YouTube. And so we decided to submit to film festivals. Now, look, I knew, Alex, that a film festival, maybe the arts are left-leaning. They're probably not going to like my movie about censorship. But I also know that artists believe in free speech because they create. And so we submitted it to all over the world. We started winning festival after festival after festival on, like, 6 different continents. We've won over 20 film festivals.
So that which didn't kill you only made you stronger.
That's the truth. And interestingly, we won none in the United Kingdom. And so for some reason, they don't seem to appreciate Ike or me or anything there. But a lot of them, and some...
Well, a prophet's not known in his country.
It's true.
And keep going. I'm interrupting. Keep going.
And so we were just amazed and shocked. We got all of this recognition, including Mickey Willis got recognition for his Great Awakening film at one of the same festivals, Santa Monica Film Festival. And I was surprised. And that's what I think these leftists are in this dual moment where... part of them believes that this is fundamental right for free speech, but part of them have been conditioned that they're the party of censorship. They know that's wrong.
Plus, they tune in. We're not Nazis. We're the opposite. I mean, it's ridiculous.
People just need to go into their heart and act on their own truth. That's the final message, really. You know what's right to do. Stop listening to what other people telling you what's right and just do what is right. If people can connect to that, then they know that we should allow people to speak and have these conversations and have these ideas. And so that's why I learned by putting this film out. Again, won all these awards, never have done that before. Now it's free. Yes, please, don't take it for granted. We want it to be watched.
Yeah, no, don't take it for granted. Promote it and say this is an important film given to you. It needs 10 million views by tomorrow. It needs 50 million views by the end of the week. It needs 100 million views right now for victory. We will not be silenced. 4 p.m. Central at Real Alex Jones. And I love the fact you're going to simulcast it. Where else is it being simulcast?
So we're going to do it at London Real TV, and then Mario Nafal is also going to simulcast it as well.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing. I know him, good friend from Dubai.
He's in town soon.
Yeah, he might be coming to the conference. There's a crypto conference on now as well.
Oh, I didn't know. He wants to, okay, well, maybe get dinner Friday night, or you're already leaving Friday.
Do that. Well, I'll stay for that dinner.
Okay, all right. Well,
we have a lot of friends out there that are looking to fight for freedom, and that's a beautiful thing to see. So we're going to cover pretty much every time zone globally between our three organizations.
Smart move. Well, I'm just honored to be part of it. I want to go to some of these spaces commenters have been holding, and I've been a jerk talking so much, but I just want to say no one can deny we're at a critical juncture in history. Chase Geiser and then Brian Rose, what would you call this moment in history?
Absolutely pivotal. Like a pivotal patriotic moment in history. We could go one way or the other. And frankly, if we see what happened in the Weimar Republic in the 1920s, I think we're getting really close to that here in the United States in the 2020s, but we're going to have total hyperinflation and collapse, and we're going to have to choose between Marxism or fascism or a third populist alternative. And that's why, to me, it's more important now than ever that we pay attention, that we embrace populism, that we reject violence and hate, because if we don't create the new way, we'll go an old way, and the old ways always lead to millions dead.
That is a hole-in-one. That is the most important thing said in years here. The globalists want to use crises to bring us into a new tyranny. We cannot accept a violent populist movement or the globalist evil. We have to have a loving, open renaissance.
Yes, and I know love is a strange word, but at the end of the movie, after all the things that Ike says about COVIDs and masks and vaccines, he says, this is about love. And he talks about love. And I say, David, this is what they're trying to ban. And he said, because that's what scares them most. When they can stop dividing us and they stop getting us to hate each other, that you're a this or a trans this or a this color or that color, when the love is there, then we're not going to go there. And so if you ever find yourself in that fight or flight mode, they are in control. So take a step back, find out where that love is. I think the phrase for this time is the Great Awakening, which is Mickey Willis's film. We've all seen the evidence thanks to COVID. Before that, nobody knew this was going on. But now everyone has seen it, but now it takes action.
And that's the thing. And years ago, it was David Icke and Alex Jones, not trying to credit. I feel so good to be eclipsed by so many people because that means we're winning. And now freedom is so popular, and there's so many great prominent, like Mickey Willis reaching hundreds of millions. You're reaching hundreds of millions. I mean, the globalists have got their work cut out for them. I mean, man. I mean, Dr. Peter McCullough was on yesterday, and he said, our team is incredible, and it's getting better every day.
Yeah, he's amazing. And you started it, Alex.
Well, I mean, people before me, but yeah, this wave, I was right there, but I just caught a wave.
And you inspired so many people to pick up the baton and run with it. So all these people kind of spawned from that InfoWars concept and the fact that you never stopped fighting. So just want to recognize that, Alex. Thank you.
Well, I want to recognize this. Thank you for saying that. All I care about is beating them, but I also get a sick pleasure, which I apologize for. I'm all about love, but I still have a little bit of devil in me. All these attempts to shut me down, I'm obsolete, you dumb bastards. Have you not figured it out? It's everywhere now. That, I mean, you get what I'm saying? It's like, it's hilarious. Like,
you already won.
Yeah. Well, I mean, God's winning, but yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. I want to say again, the movie is going to premiere in 2 hours and 9 minutes, and it's going to be at Real Alex Jones and LondonReal.tv. And, you know, we probably, let's be conservative. I'm not going to exaggerate, everybody does. There's probably 4 million people tuned in right now. Will you just send it out on your email and text message? Will you just retweet it? Will you please? Because I get there's so much info. I'm the same way. But when you see that really special piece of info that people have really worked on, that's what you got to promote, folks. All right. I apologize, everybody. I'm out of control. A lot of spaces, folks, probably want to slit my throat. Who we got next?
Let's go straight to Chief Trumpster. You've been waiting a long time. Go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say if you're still with us, Chief.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say this about about the Trump trial, that the key message for this is that Democrats are trying their very best to keep Trump in the court forever and ever and ever and prevent him from running for the American people and spreading his message to not just voters on our side, but voters who are in the middle, independents, and maybe even some people on the left that might want to change their votes around. And I would say also, if they do succeed in jailing Trump and locking him up, They're gonna go for each and every one of us. Like, we are all.
Oh yeah, that's a total green light for martial law. I mean, exactly. People, if they get Trump, they got you. I mean, this is bad.
Right. And it's not just, you know, they target Alex Jones, they target everybody above. People who have lots of influence and can really go.
Now they're moving on to the imprisonment phase like Hitler or Stalin.
Yeah, they're going to really go and shift it to, you know, people who aren't even like overly political, people who are just normal people who, you know, just have a day job and, you know.
Oh, it's like with the Nazis. It'll be some company they want that didn't even do anything. They'll just grab it.
Right. And like the Overton window has shifted so much on the right, which is awesome. But with that being said, if they do jail Trump, it's going to be the biggest crackdown on conservative politics in history. There is going to be a complete shadow over us discussing conservative ideology.
No, I agree. And they're dumb enough to do it. So what happens if they do throw his ass in jail?
Yeah, if they throw Trump in jail, there's going to be a lot of people on the right who are going to be infuriated by this. And, you know, that is basically going to be the end of, in my opinion, like the end of, I guess, America's say on the world stage and America's standing and the Constitution. Like if they jail Trump, all of our liberties, all of our rights, all of our freedoms are effectively gone. Like that's it.
I want to ask Brian Rose this and you and Chase Geiser, but Chase kind of said earlier, if they put him in jail, they know they're failing. I think they're going to blow something up and blame it on Trump supporter. I think that's a no-brainer default. And that's what my gut level thinks.
I'm worried about it because the closer to reality violence or a lie is, the easier it is for the false flag to be viable, right? So January 6th, we saw this false flag. We saw the feds really pushing it. People were really pissed off. That was the closest that the right in America has come to having thoughts of any sort
of. Yeah, they're going to get at the head of our movement where it makes sense, and they're going to do what they think we should do.
So they have to push it to the brink of where it seems reasonable to somebody who's not paying attention that the right wingers would be violent. Then they can usher in the false flag, and it has plausible deniability, or it's close enough to the truth that people buy it. That's what I'm really worried about too, and that's why I'm so proud to work here at InfoWars, because we never advocate for violence. You've been against virtually every war that we've been in for the entirety of the 21st century. This is a pacifist platform. You get censored for hate speech, ironically, but it's so important not to act out violently.
Brian?
Worst case scenario, if they do put him in jail, he can still be elected from jail.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So he can proceed. Obviously, no rallies, etc., but that's still plausible. So that can't stop him, technically.
The old cage.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so. But what about the false? What if they staged something in his name?
I mean, that's I honestly got shudders when you guys are talking about that.
Yeah. Well, that's the next move. I mean, their playbook. I mean.
And they're running out of moves because this is going to make him more powerful. It's going to make the gap even more between him and Biden. And so they're going to go for something even more desperate. Again, Trump always says at every single one of his rallies, they're going to take away my freedoms because I'm fighting for yours. This is the message for today. When they start taking away any one of our freedoms, they're coming for you next. And Trump is a symbol of that and all the freedoms, freedom of speech, judicial system, free and fair elections, financial freedom. It's all the same thing, folks. They start taking one of those away from anybody, they're coming for the rest of us.
That's right.
Can't come back from this system. Look at China. Look at their CBDC. It's not coming back ever. And this is the time to fight right now.
That's right. I want to be very clear with everybody. Those of us that are awake, black, white, old, young, brown, you know, Christian, Buddhist, Jew, you know, they're good people everywhere. We get a little blind spot because we're so awake. The other people are. Yeah, folks are ready to wake up, but they're not fully woken up. Right now is the time to work like the devil. And we're not the devil, but you know what I mean? The saying, we better work hard right now to affect this and explain to people because I'm getting chills right now. I mean, history's going down. I mean, this is a... We have 100-year cycles, and we're in the fourth turning. But that's an easy way to say it. We have all the AI, all these systems. There's a quickening of a quickening. History is accelerating, and everything you do, Norm is like a pebble in the water. It has an effect. You're like every little thing you do is a boulder right now. Evil guys do is big, too.
I absolutely agree. I was a pretty fast runner when I was in junior high before I had an injury. I ran the mile and 4 minutes and 52 seconds when I was in eighth grade. And the last lap was always the fastest. When you're the most exhausted, that's when you double down. This is the last lap. The enemy isn't sleeping. You can look up on Google Pizza Hut orders outside of intelligence offices to see the demand go up at 1 a.m. right before a major conflict breaks out. They don't sleep. And so we have to think of this as the last lap where the guys right behind you, yes, we're winning, but if we slow down or turn over and look over our shoulder,
they're going to blow past us.
You. Their method of control is dividing us. And so if ever you feel yourself feeling angry, feeling hate toward any group, you need to take a step back and try to see what's really going on, because someone is yanking at your strings, getting you to do things you don't want to do that will ultimately lead in less freedom in your life. So I'd say to anybody out there, I don't care who you think hates you or who you need to hate, that is not our natural state, all right? And again, it comes back to love, and I'll just say that. We need to take a step back, because ultimately as humans, we all want the same thing. That's peace, freedom, love.
Brown, that's so critical. There's a lot of real little fights at the level, but they're exacerbating them. It's all fake.
All fake.
Love is the answer, folks. All right, I'm going to come back and talk about all the resignations that are happening. Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now, and for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil. If you don't get a high-quality gravity-fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure gravity-fed water filtration system for 10% off. That's huge, because there's not much markup in these, because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, Brian Rose and Chase Geisel will continue on with your spaces comments. I am distracted, something I have to take care of. I would love to be here. Dylan Schroyer in 1 hour takes over with the War Room, and you're going to be on there on the second hour of it when they launch. And Viva Fry's coming up in 5 minutes. The amazing lawyer to get his take on this travesty of justice with the show trial in New York. But I wanted to just make this point about, I had Dr. Kirk Elliott, an economist, and he said, oh, there's over 1,000 CEOs the last 2 months resigned. And I went, okay, let me search it. I was on CNBC. It was like 4,000 CEOs, and they were like the heads of major banks and Bill and Melinda Gates and Klaus Schwab. It's almost as big, or maybe it's bigger. I can't quantify it, that we saw right before COVID and right before 2008. So, Brian, you're a former banker and a smart financial guy. What do you make of record resignations? That never bodes well.
You know, the financial sector is in bed with the U.S. government. And when I got to Wall Street in 1993, I was taught about the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, is neither federal or a reserve. I got taught about all of the intricate relationships where people go from Goldman Sachs to the Treasury Secretary and back. It's always a leading indicator if you see what's happening in finance, because it's intermittently linked into the government. So, yeah, when you see things like 08, usually they're cleaning house. Usually they're trying to bring in a new order and a new vision for what they want to do to the next level. So, yeah, I probably want to look into this a little more. It's an election year. Inflation's in play. Crypto is a new wild card. And I'm sure they're trying to resist a lot of those forces right now.
Elaborate on that. So that was my question. Is it the old guard scurrying with stolen money because they don't want to blame, or are they trying to fix it, bringing in a new guard? So you astutely answered my question partly.
You know, I honestly believe this crypto card is something that is going to change a lot of minds. And we saw the administration do an entire 180 over the past 7 days and go from Elizabeth Warren and her cronies trying to lock people up for owning crypto to basically Biden giving Gary Gensler at the SEC a green light to approve this next ETF for Ethereum. And I think they're starting to realize that 50 million Americans own crypto, and they're tired of their politicians telling them what they can do with their own money.
So adoption is winning.
Yes. And the freedom is the issue. And again, crypto is a currency of freedom. And we got to remember that, just like X is a medium of freedom.
Well, that's how slavery ended. It's why people said we're sick of having black slaves. This is wrong morally. It's just a moment. Now we say we want crypto. We can iron out the problems with it, but the idea is good.
Yeah, you can't put that in the bag, just why you can't undo a CBDC. And so we got to be very careful about these decisions. I'm very happy to see what's happening with crypto. Trump's embracing it. Biden's doing a reversal on it. And ultimately, it's an instrument of freedom. They vowed to ban CBDCs, I think, in the House. I don't know if it'll be passed. These are good signs, but we've got to push it because money is everything. I'll say one last thing. Freedom of speech is one thing, Alex, but if you don't have financial freedom, freedom of speech is a luxury. So if I pull all of your means,
I was going to say monetary is even more important.
It's more important. It trumps everything else, and yet we don't think about it that much. So
yeah, we don't.
Follow the money. It's the ancient expression. Follow the money.
Hey,
that's being controlled. You're being controlled.
I'm a pro-gun guy. I know it's the Second Amendment. It should be the third. You're right. Financial speech, then self-defense. Like, if you don't have the money and the speech, forget the guns. I mean,
yeah, very much so. The guns were there to protect your property. The money is essential. Otherwise, you have no freedoms. That's so important for people to understand. You've got to be able to own your own money.
And if we can just get the average right winger to get into monetary issues, we're going to win.
Yes. That's what we need. And it's the libertarian voice. Hopefully they're moving that way.
All right. It's going to premiere in an hour and 57 minutes at LondonReal.tv and at LondonRealTV and at Brian B. Rose and at Real Alex Jones. The film is amazing. We will not be silenced. It will stream out while you're co-hosting with Owen Schroyer. We're going to go to break. Viva Fry, an amazing lawyer and patriot, is going to give his take on this. And I'm a layperson, so I only had an hour yesterday to get ready. I'm like, wait, they don't have to agree on the charge? Isn't that wrong? All the scholars came out and said it's completely illegal. They all have to agree 100% on each charge or it doesn't happen. What are they doing? Well, desperation. Viva Fry takes over and you'll get to a bunch of spaces. Everybody be patient. We appreciate you all. So amazing. Brian Rose, We Will Not Be Silenced film, freedomplatform.tv and at Real Alex Jones in 2 hours or 2 hours or an hour and 55 minutes. All right. Thank you so much. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. This is so, so important. Please remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're listener supported. Your purchases at InfoWarsStore.com allow this powerful, game-changing information on the air, and they're really great products. InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamineral Fusion sold out, but a little bit more is coming in a few weeks, so that's a bummer. But Nitric Boost cleans out your blood, still good for your heart, your brain, everything. It is back in stock, 40% off. There is, of course, a lot of other great products like the Ultimate Fish Oil, highest grade fish oil at a great price. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, so good for your cardiovascular system, so good for your sleep. It's available as well at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. While you're there, get 10-hour clean energy that is amazing. Turbo Force at InfoWarsStore.com as well. Get a copy of one of my two newest books, The Great Reset and the War for the World, and the newest one, The Great Awakening, The Plan to Defeat the Globalists and Launch the Next Great Renaissance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, folks.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
I am Chase Geiser, your host for the remainder of the hour. We have Viva Fry with us, as well as the great Brian Rose co-hosting the Alex Jones Show. You're back in the saddle, man. Viva, it is an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. I have been a fan of your work for a long time, and please pardon my ignorance on these issues. I don't know much about law, these suits. Obviously, I've been following them. I've only really gotten interested in politics extensively over the course of the last several years, and my my understanding of how this works out is so counterintuitive to what I'm actually seeing. Can you just explain to me what's going on with what I'm hearing rumors of judges saying that only a certain number of members of the jury have to agree on certain charges? I am just totally confused. Please give me like a 101 on what the hell is going on.
I always preface this by saying I was a civil litigator in Quebec and not a criminal lawyer in America, but I've managed to piece this together because you hear people saying things and you're not exactly sure what they're saying. I saw the tweet that said the judge instructed the jury they don't have to be unanimous for a conviction. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. And it's a little bit more confusing than that because this is a 34 felony charge case indictment that would have otherwise been a misdemeanor, that would have otherwise been barred by the statute of limitations. And the way they got around this being a misdemeanor was by arguing that the falsification of business records was for the purposes of covering up an underlying felony. That's how they get past the misdemeanor statute of limitations and make this into something insanely idiotic that it never was. The judge tells the jury, you don't have to be unanimous on the underlying crime or the predicate act. That's what the judge is telling the jury. You have to find unanimous conviction. That's just the basis of law, but you don't need to unanimously agree on what the underlying crime was that turned this from a misdemeanor into a felony.
That's bizarre.
It's bizarre. And there's like three floating theories. I was trying to find the tweet of the judge. I couldn't find it, but there's three underlying theories of this case that the underlying predicate act was, federal elections law violations, election interference. Doesn't make sense because the FEC looked into this and said there's nothing there. The other number two of the three options was tax fraud. Although the judge said it doesn't even have to have resulted in Trump paying less taxes. This is how absurd these instructions are. And I forget what the third potential predicate act is, but that's what the judge said. You don't have to agree on the underlying predicate act crime because the prosecution has never specified what it is, to the point where you have the idiots on MSNBC a couple of weeks ago saying, how has the prosecution not told us what the underlying predicate act is with certainty? So that is the confusion. They have to be unanimous on a conviction, but not unanimous on what they think the underlying predicate act was that turns this into the act that they can convict on.
Wow. So it just sounds like more and more loopholes. Brian, what do you think of all this?
You know, my mind is just going forward. And I recently had Alan Dershowitz on my show, and he recently came out and said it's all about the appeal and how quickly they can get that appellate decision. So pardon me for fast forwarding to that. Is that what Trump needs to think about immediately, is how quickly he can get that appeal and how quickly is realistic?
I don't think there's going to be an appeal, from what I understand, that'll happen before the election if there's a conviction.
Okay.
And obviously, if there's a conviction, it's, by all accounts, you know, you can take a non-Republican lawyer like Jonathan Turley, who's like, it's a foregone conclusion that this ought to be and must be overturned on appeal, because the misconduct by the judge, and this is Dershowitz's observations as well, is egregious. It's over the top. The bias is over the top. That this was even turned into a felony indictment in the first place is questionable in law. So I don't think they're looking for the appeal yet. We'll see what happens if there's an actual conviction. But the instructions given to the jury, this is sort of the analogy I used yesterday. This judge can't control the findings of the jury. There are other tools that the judge could have used to bypass the jury if he or she were not, you know, inclined to agree with the jury's findings. You got the direct verdict is a way of bypassing it, saying we're not even submitting it to a jury because it's so preposterous. Or if the jury, well, it's the other way around. If the jury convicts, you can say judgment notwithstanding a verdict, we're overturning or overriding the jury conviction, because if the jury should never have rendered a conviction in a case like this, no reasonable jury would. This happened in the Michael Flynn partner case, Bian Rafikian, who was convicted by a jury of FARA violations. The judge, some will argue it was political bias, partisan bias, whatever, basically disregarded, set aside the conviction and said, no reasonable jury could have come to this conclusion as a matter of law, so I'm bypassing, overturning the jury conviction. There's no way the judge does this in this case, because the judge wants a conviction. So he's got to like just set up the ingredients, set up the house of cards in a way to yield the result that he wants, which is a conviction. And so these instructions are, from what better legal minds than myself are saying, are preposterous, outlandish. They have to agree on the underlying crime, and they have to specify what that crime was. And there's some people theorizing that the judge might try to swap out if they get an indication as to who the sole or holdout jurors are. Some people are hypothesizing that the reason why the judge did not release the alternate jurors is to potentially do something underhanded, like swap out with an alternate one of the holdout jurors, if he can find a creative reason in law to get rid of a holdout juror who is holding up the conviction. So there's a number of things here. It's wild, but the judge has done everything he can in terms of curating what was allowed as evidence. Bear in mind, in his instructions, the judge said made references to FEC violations while simultaneously prohibiting the defense from presenting an expert that would have disproven that this would have ever been a campaign contribution in the first place. The judge systematically sustained the prosecution's objections to questions asked by the defense and systematically overruled the objections made by the defense to prosecution's questions. They allowed irrelevant testimony that was more prejudicial than probative, that being Stormy Daniels' sexy time testimony, irrelevant to the case, allowed that and prevented the defendants from even raising certain defenses. So the judge has done everything in his power to curate the outcome. And the only question is going to be, will this jury, will they cave to their political prejudice, or will they stand up and uphold the Constitution?
Wow, that analysis catalyzed so many questions in my mind. And the macro 30,000-foot question I want to ask you before we get back into the specifics of this case is, how did we arrive at a place in our judicial system where this kind of thing is able to happen? Obviously, our founding fathers, we revere them here in the United States quite a bit. They put a bunch of protections in the Constitution that have lasted hundreds of years. There's been a lot of entropy and erosion of our rights in the Constitution. But all in all, it's been a pretty good dam against the flood of tyranny that civilizations have a tendency to manifest. How is it that our judicial system has gotten so crippled and broken down over the centuries that we've arrived at a place like this where these charges can be thrown at the leading presidential candidate in these suits? And there's dozens of charges, as I understand it, past statute of limitations. I mean, all the holes that you just mentioned, there's like 100 different reasons why this case is problematic. How have we gotten to this point, and what do we need to change about the judicial process altogether at a federal level to prevent this type of thing from happening again? Because it's going to happen over and over again, regardless of the outcome of this case.
Your mind with a minor black pill. It might have always been this way to some extent. It probably got worse over the years, but it might have always been like this, but we've never known about it because they've never gone after a candidate with a bullhorn and political force behind him, such as Trump. They've railroaded people left, right, and center throughout the history of the criminal system.
Sure.
And we are now only seeing the degree to which it might have gotten more politicized, but it's always been corrupt, I imagine. How has it gotten this politicized? You know, I like to say courage is contagious, but so is corruption. Mm. And this is like the small domino creating the momentum to push over a bigger domino, a bigger one, and bigger one yet. We've seen the inch crossing the first Rubicon, and other judges get empowered by the corruption of prior judges. When New York nipple judge Engoron, the guy in that ridiculous Letitia James case, the one who posted topless selfies of him to his academic club there, the website, whatever, he issued a gag order. And then Chutkin out of D.C. is like, well, there's a gag order here. I forget the order. But once one issues a gag order, unconstitutional on its face, another judge says, well, they did it in New York. And then Merchant says, well, they did it in D.C. And they've gotten away with the politicization and the weaponization of the legal system, where once it's done once, they broke that glass. There is less reluctance to do it again on a going forward basis. And there's almost political empowerment. And it's, you know, when one state removed Trump from the ballot, Colorado did it first, I think. Well, look what happened after that. It is the corruption, the contagiousness of the corruption that other corrupt forces said, well, that nutcase, I don't think it was Jenna Griswold who did it in Colorado, but, you know, she was integral there. They did it in Colorado. Let's go do it in Maine. You get a Secretary of State in Maine who now says, I'm empowered by the corruption of another state. We've seen this judicial corruption be empowered and emboldened by prior judicial corruption. What the solution is, I would have said, you know, eliminate judicial immunity, but that might just punish the honest ones and not, you know, the corrupt ones will still use whatever powers they have. Another way is get more Elise Stefaniks out there to file ethics complaints. Like Elise Stefaniks, as far as I know, is the only one who's filed an ethics complaint against Letitia James, against Judge Engoron. I mean, this is a judge that you have on record saying, I've got the tools to come to whatever decision I want in law effectively. Am I making the law or am I following the law? Well, I have tools to make the law when I want to. So more complaints and more impeachments. You know, they're threatening to impeach Eileen Cannon for enforcing the law. Impeach Merchant, impeach Engoron for breaking the law. It won't happen to Engoron because he's a state court judge, but impeach these judges. Let there be political consequences to their corrupt decisions.
What do you think, Brian?
So I'm still trying to go back to this appeal. If a no appeal is possible before the election and Trump, God forbid, gets convicted and has to go to jail, what does the next 6 months look like? What can he cannot do? Does it have any implications on the actual vote?
Well, I mean, the implications on the vote are going to be lock him up and see how much more that drives up his numbers. Again, from what I understand, the big number everyone was throwing around is that, you know, he could be behind bars for 180 years. It's a nonviolent first-time offense. By all accounts, he wouldn't serve any jail time. And he'll appeal in any event, and in all likelihood, get a suspended sentence, or whatever the verdict would be, or the sentence, pending appeal. Because say they sentence him to 4 months in jail or a day, if he serves that time before the appeal is heard, well, then the appeal becomes basically academic. And they did it with Bannon. They did it with a bunch of other people. But the bottom line, they don't need him to go to jail, although I wouldn't be surprised if Merchant orders him to jail as a sentence if he's convicted for a day. Something nominal, something logistically feasible. They just want the conviction. They want to be able to say he is a convicted felon, even if it gets overturned by appeal in a year and a half time, because inconceivable he gets convicted, sentenced, and the appeal is heard and a judgment rendered on it between now and November, in my view, but I don't know. But they don't care about anything other than the title of convicted felon. They've got their title of rapist now, and they got it through yet another corrupt judge. This is in the E. Jean Carroll case, another case where they changed the law so they could facilitate a, am I allowed swearing on your channel? A bat poop crazy lady, E. Jean Carroll, to sue Donald Trump for 25-year-old claims because they passed a piece of legislation that opened a one-year window to file a civil complaint that exceeded the statute of limitations. In that case, even though Trump was found not liable for rape, Judge Kaplan, who oddly enough has the same last name as the attorney for E. Jean Carroll Kaplan, he rendered in one of his judgments that says, yeah, technically under the law, he didn't rape her, but that's only because New York state law is so strict as to what the definition of rape is. But technically, he raped her. Colloquially speaking, he raped her. So it's accurate to say he raped her, and they ran with that headline. Ugh. All they want, it's so dirty, it's beyond the realm. It's beyond the Rubicon. I see they haven't just crossed the Rubicon. They've crossed it. They took down their pants and they left a steaming turd in it. They have no respect for the system. They clamor about upholding the Constitution while desecrating it. And this judge literally circumvented the jury finding that said he was not liable for rape, or the jury found him not liable. No to that question, and bastardized one of his judgments that yes, technically he did. So anybody who says that he's a rapist can say that he's a rapist. All they want is the label convicted felon so that Joe Biden can, yeah, meme it, just repeat it. It'll replace extreme MAGA Republicans. It's just for the label. I don't think they care about actual imprisonment. And there's a whole slew of constitutional questions about imprisonment. But maybe they'll put him on house arrest in Mar-a-Lago and then sick the FBI for another raid.
Wow. So let me ask you this. I can't remember the exact number, if it's 31, 32, or 34 charges.
34.
Against him. 34. Thank you. What is the likelihood in your mind that there's a conviction on at least one of these charges? It just seems statistically to me that the more you throw at someone, the more likely something is going to stick. Does there have to be, do they all have to go through? Just one of them or two of them can go through? Let me know. Please enlighten me.
It's an all or nothing in this case, because okay. They are all, they're iterations of the same underlying act. So this is how preposterous it is. They needed the number 34 indictment, 34 felony indictment, so they could run with he's now facing a total of 81. Indictment charges, and so they can have the grabbing headline, the big number, 34 felony charge indictment, on the basis that entering the description in the ledgers was one felony, signing the check was another. So you get four for every month entry.
Was another.
No, but it's like signing the entry was one, signing the check was another, in the books it was another. So every monthly entry is four felony charges. So they go from January, February, March, April, whatever it is. I don't know how you get to 34. That's the idea. So there is no way. It's not like one of these charges is wildly different than all the others. It's sort of an all or nothing deal. He either structured the payment that way, but that's the other question. This is one, let's just call it one scheme if it's nothing else. And I don't think it's an illegal scheme. It's just, this is the entries in the books. Right. It's one payment to Stormy Daniels that they're saying he broke up over 6 months, whatever. And that there was basically entry, check, retainer, whatever. That's it. They've turned it into 34 charges for one and the same basically overall act. How do you do that? Who knows if that withstands appeal? I mean, so the same act on a monthly basis as part of the scheme turns into 34 charges with a maximum of 180 years in prison. It's insanity, but that's what it is. So I don't think there's any reasonable interpretation that could allow the jury to say, we'll find him guilty on signing the check, but not entering it in the ledgers. It's all part of the same thing. So all or nothing. And I predict that it's going to be all, but the longer this goes, looks like a hung jury.
Brian,
what is your probability of conviction? If you had to put a number on it right now from 0 to 100. Second, when do you think we actually get a decision? End of day, end of tomorrow? Third, are there other trials coming before November 6th that could have similar ramifications?
Okay, so I predicted before the trial he was going to get convicted as a foregone conclusion. Because I also thought they wouldn't screw this up so badly or as badly as they did. After having listened or, you know, tweeted or followed the trial via tweets, I believe there's an increased likelihood for a hung jury, so long as you have just a couple of reasonable people on the jury who said, I'm not going to sell my soul to the devil for this. So I'll say, random number, 87% conviction, although I think he's going to get convicted.
Okay.
The question was, other trials that are coming up in the meantime, I don't think that there's any more trials that have a reasonable chance of being heard before November. RICO in Georgia is on hold pretty much indefinitely. The Georgia Court of Appeal is going to hear the appeal on Scott McAfee's refusal to disqualify Fannie. So that is not going to be, you're not going to have anything done before November. Florida doesn't look like it's going anywhere except for downhill for Jack Smith. DC is the only other one where maybe you're going to get a trial, but bear in mind also we're waiting on the immunity decision from the Supreme Court, which could put a wrench in all of these, including the New York case, because a lot of the acts signing off all the checks and the structure of the payment yada occurred after Trump was president, and there could be some immunity issues as relates to those actions as well for which he might get convicted. So I don't think there's any other reasonable trial that gets heard before November. What was the second question?
Actually, do you think we'll get a decision from Supreme Court before election? Is it possible that we get something in the next couple months?
I think, from what I understand, it's definitive. And I talked about this with Robert Barnes on our Sunday show. It looks like that's coming down the pike. And Barnes, whose brain is much bigger than mine, and I enjoy picking it all the time, he had the interesting observation that he suspects the immunity decision is coming down imminently and that it's going to be very bad for the left or for the TDS folk out there who want Trump out at all costs, which is why we're seeing this vitriolic attack on Alito, that they know the immunity decision is coming, that it's not going to be good, and so we have to discredit the Supreme Court and Justice Alito in advance of the issuance of that decision. So interesting theory on that. I think it has to be, I'm looking at my calendar, I think it has to be rendered by the end of the month of June. So we will get that decision in this session of the Supreme Court. And that's going to be the question. There's no question they're going to recognize some immunity, in my view. I don't think it's going to go so far as my theory is, unless he's impeached and convicted, you can't go after him for that act after he's out of office. That's where I think it should go, but we'll see if it gets that far or if, you know, a couple of the judges take it that far. But he will get some immunity. And then the only question is going to be, what's going to be the impact of that recognition of immunity on what he's being charged with in Georgia, in D.C., and in New York?
So I've got to ask you, we had a fascinating conversation with Darren Beatty at the beginning of the show today, where the hypothesis was put forward that this was supposed to be the pandemic 2.0. So the pandemic was a major advantage for the left during the 2020 cycle, and this was going to be the advantage for the left in this 2024 cycle with these massive amounts of lawsuits brought against Trump, lawfare, litigation, what have you. It seems to have backfired. Do you believe that they just miscalculated the way that this was going to backfire in the eyes of the American people? Is this part of some strategy that I just don't understand? I mean, what is going on here in the eyes and minds of the leftists behind it as far as the way that the people of America who are going to vote are responding?
That's the question. Is it stupidity? Is it hubris? Is it a bit of both? Is there some 5D chess that they're planning after all of this fails? This is how I cannot think this deviously myself. I didn't put together why they were pulling out the term insurrection immediately after January 6th. Like yes. The day of, they were calling it an insurrection. I didn't know the law as relates to insurrection and keeping someone off the ballot if they've participated or aided in insurrection. So I don't know when I believe January 6th was a Fedsurrection, a let it happen on purpose or a made it happen on purpose. I believe that, and anybody who disagrees with me, entitled to their belief, but they're wrong. whether or not they planned that so they could say, we're going to have this, we're going to call it an insurrection. Whether or not they lined it up all at the beginning, I don't know. Whether or not they just think, well, here's where we are. This is where the chess pieces lie. What's the next best move that we can do? Oh, we got a big riot. Let's call it an insurrection and let's try to impeach him again. Oh, and if the impeachment fails, let's try to get him off the ballots in 2 or 3 years' time. I think they make the best of the circumstances as they currently lie. Mm. But, you know, they didn't, you know, they played the pandemic perfectly because they changed the rules yet again for an election. I think they, it's hubris at this point. Like, I don't think Judge Marchand understands what he looks like. Maybe he does because you can't be that lacking insight, but it's hubris, it's arrogance, and it's stupidity above all else. The only question is, I mean, they've gone from impeachment a second time to, you know, insurrection, to trying to remove him from the ballot, to trying to lock him up, to try to bankrupt him in New York. What, there is only one next step that they can go to, and they're showing their cards by trying to pass that disgrace act to strip convicted, federal, officers of Secret Service protection, because they're trying to set something up like what I believe they tried to set up with the FBI raiding Mar-a-Lago and potentially resulting in an armed incident with Secret Service. That's the next step. And I don't like to think about it, but I don't know where they could go from here. They've exhausted all venues and they're all backfiring wildly.
Well, Viva, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for joining us again. You are always such an incredible contribution to this network. And I just want to remind the audience before we go to break here in 40 seconds how important it is now more than ever to fight for freedom of speech, all of our freedoms, frankly, as we come up on this election on the 5th of November, a 5th of November, I hope, which will never be forgot. And part of the way that you can do that in a long-term way for our country and our freedoms as human beings is by going to drjonesnaturals.com. That's drjonesnaturals.com and getting things like Next Level Foundational Energy. I wish I had more time to talk about the amazing benefits of this product, but it's a great way to support yourself, invest in yourself, and keep us on the air and support Alex and his family in this information war. Stick with us, folks, for more on the other side.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now, and I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the new world order's coming. It's here. And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now. And I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the New World Order's coming. It's here.
All right, folks. Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The only show that dares to speak the truth. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, folks. I am Chase Geiser in with Brian Rose and the Spirit in the Sky. How are you, Brian? You snapping necks and cashing checks?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
So Brian was telling me a little bit of his story before this segment during the break. We were hanging out. He was telling me he just got inspired by Joe Rogan and started a regular old podcast. He was doing Joe Rogan-esque stuff until he got censored, basically because the government through the BBC was pressuring YouTube. Seems like a familiar story these days. And my question for you is, do you think if Rogan at the key time that he had the Spotify deal for however many hundreds of millions of dollars, I don't know if it's even been officially reported what the real number is. Do you think if he hadn't gotten that Spotify deal that the same thing would have happened to him that happened to you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I was following the space very closely because we were getting censored and then ultimately deplatformed from YouTube in 20 and 21. And I was watching what Rogan was doing. And, you know, he started flirting with these issues about a year later is when he jumped in the fight around 21. And YouTube was still clamping down on us. We had to create a separate platform. That's that digital freedom platform. And we had to stream over there. YouTube even threatened at one point that my content on my website might get me deplatformed on YouTube. A bit like that whole Patreon effect.
So if you violate their terms somewhere else, they're still going to apply it to you.
Exactly. So they were threatening that with us. There's a point in the movie where I say to him, look, like, what do you want me to be? The Mr. Rogers channel where I talk about food and the weather? Because you're trying to basically neuter me into be one of these happy YouTube influencers that just toes the line. And there's literally a point in the movie where the YouTube says, Brian, we want you to go back and talk about health optimization and meditation. Well, that's the content we want from you. And I'm like, wait a second, this is my channel.
And if they're going to edit your content, then are they protected under the statutes that protect them from liability? Because then it becomes editorial.
I mean, there's so many layers. So many layers. And we were right at the tip of the spear. And so they didn't even know what they were talking about. Actually, they contradicted themselves at one point, which was interesting. They said, oh, anything against the WHO is not allowed on the platform. And I don't know if you remember early on, but early on, the WHO said not to wear masks. And the mayor of New York had said to wear masks. And I said to the rep, I said, so you're going to deplatform the mayor of New York? And he just got quiet. Now, later, Mike Benz would laugh at me and he said, Brian, from the top in the government, they first sent out a mandate saying, do this, and then they changed it on them. So you could see YouTube reacting to that. So, but to get to your question, when Rogan went to Spotify, it shot a huge missile across the bow of YouTube and said, look, here's a major creator, a major influencer that is depopulating your entire platform of all of his content and going to a place that is not censoring him. You better really look at what you're going to do. And so we noticed YouTube relaxing their policies against us, and we could get a little more content under the radar. And then that all changed, strangely, at the end of last year. I don't know if it was pre-election. And then they came after us and shut us down.
You know, I had a conversation with a brilliant man, Ron Coleman. He's a brilliant free speech activist and attorney and expert. He has a famous case where he represented a band called The Slants. So you can follow Ron Coleman on X and look into all those details. I encourage you to do so. But when I was talking to him about censorship on my small podcast way before the InfoWars days for me, he mentioned how bizarre some of the policies were around censorship for YouTube. Like, it didn't make sense that they would have these policies unless they were feeling pressure from somewhere else. And we've gotten to a point here where, whether it's YouTube or Twitter before it was owned by Elon Musk, or Facebook or these other publicly traded companies, especially the ones with boards, they seem to be the most easily compromised, because you get the board in there and then you can totally control the company. And it's famously Apple fired Steve Jobs erroneously because they had a stupid board that was compromised. But these companies have gotten to a point where they're so big and there's so much pressure from the government that they clearly make decisions that are not in the best interest of their shareholders. You mentioned that you made millions of dollars for YouTube over the years, and the amount of ad views simply from people viewing your content. Joe Rogan, same thing. Do you really think at this point that they actually care about millions of dollars when they're worth trillions? Where does the financial pressure actually apply when they're looking on the other side at the pressure from the federal government?
Yeah, so look, when this happened in early 20, I went down the rabbit hole and said, why would YouTube care if I talked about a mask or a vaccine or social distancing? And someone said, oh, they have a part interest in a vaccine company. I never bought that. And of course, it took many years later for me to realize, thanks to the Twitter files and the work of Mike Benz, that the government was ultimately telling them what to do. Now, I'm not absolving YouTube of this, because you can...
Yeah, just following orders didn't work in Nuremberg. It shouldn't work now.
Exactly. And again, it shouldn't have worked at Twitter, and that's what they did. So, but I didn't understand that they were being pushed around by forces bigger than them. Now, if you had talked about that at the time, then you're considered a conspiracy theorist. And so...
Right.
There's a point in the movie where I'm getting deplatformed by PayPal. They're suspending my balances. Dropbox is
are they still holding your money, PayPal? They hold your money forever.
Yeah, I think 6 months later we finally got it out, but it was six figures, and I was worried about my bank accounts being taken.
Right.
And when that happens, you really have a hard time doing business. And so I was looking at all that happening, and there's a point in the movie where I say, oh, now I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But they try to gaslight you in that way to make your observations seem not correct. But now that I look at it, I see that they were being pushed for the top. And according to Mike Benz, every other major global corporation requires the U.S. government's protection in foreign lands, which means they have to listen to them as censors. And so everyone should just be aware that that's happening, and it's ultimately going to hurt you. Elon's fighting now. He's getting tremendous pressure, and I can't wait for the YouTube files and the Facebook files. And ultimately, let's remember, these are felonies. I mean, they're violating laws. And again,
right. When you're trying to violate the First Amendment rights of your people through a private organization, it's still a violation of First Amendment rights. They've just laundered it through a party.
Correct. And the thing is, Chase, when I brought this up, everybody told me, oh, YouTube is a private corporation and you signed up for their community policy, so you're subject to their laws. When I went to the government and said, wait a second, they're violating Article 17 of the European Union, they're violating these things, they said, oh, that's your business with a private company. As you just stated, little did I know they were going behind my back and pressuring those same corporations to violate the rights that they were sworn to protect. It literally is a proxy against us as citizens.
Yeah, just like we use Ukraine to fight a war against Russia, they use big tech to fight a war against the American people.
And people need to be aware of it, and it can be stopped.
Wow. So, and you know, it reminds me, we've seen a lot of reports about antitrust lawsuits that are coming out. And Elizabeth Warren famously says, we need to break up big tech. Oh, by the way, I want to thank my husband for being here in my kitchen, right? In her campaign video. But we've seen this lawsuit come out against Live Nation in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you heard about that, but Live Nation sells tickets, and apparently it's a monopoly because they buy all the tickets for major concerts like Taylor Swift concerts, and then they mark them up because they're the ones with all the tickets, and it's considered an antitrust violation. It's considered a monopoly, right? And so we see the government threatening to break up big tech, threatening to break up the Facebooks and the Googles, the Elizabeth Warrens, the Bernie Sanders, the others. And then they go out and they just decide bizarrely to flex against a concert ticket sales company. It seems like they do these cases just so they can prove or establish precedence and show these other big tech companies that they're not screwing around when they're threatening antitrust. And when you have that level of threat and power over a private company, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, or others, then they're going to do what you say. Like, hey, we want you to have a meeting once a month with the CIA, you know, disinformation expert that we have. You're going to do it because you got all of the senators and representatives talking about breaking up your company, and you see lawsuits against Live Nations. I mean, that seems like fascism to me, where the federal government is actually controlling private business. What are your thoughts?
You know, when I see Elizabeth Warren talk about anything, it just seems like a show farce. Again, her
she's like off-brand Martha Stewart.
Crypto is a backroom deal with Biden so she can take over in power. And when they threaten these big tech companies, first of all, I wonder if they can really fight back again. These things are more powerful than governments. And I think you need a figure like a Trump that could come in here and say, guess what? We are literally going to make you open the books, and we're going to find out if you've been violating our citizens' rights, and we're going to end it once and for all. If you look what the Democrats are doing with this TikTok bill is actually a way to ruin your privacy. And they're going to use this to make it so where they can actually go in and get your data and also censor these other tech platforms. And so it all looks like a show when I see what they're doing. And I don't know if these individual members are powerful enough. You do need someone, I think, like a Trump that could come in and just level the playing field, or more investigation, and maybe even a congressional hearing. But this has to end. And with AI and all these other technologies, it's only going to get worse.
You know, you mentioned cryptocurrencies, and I'm not somebody who's invested in cryptocurrencies because I read The Richest Man in Babylon, and I don't believe in investing in things I don't understand, right? So I think it's probably a good investment, but I don't understand it, so I don't invest in it. I'm not knocking it, right? But it seems to me there's so many bizarre things about cryptocurrency, and I don't mean to use the word bizarre with a negative connotation. So like I said, I'm not knocking it. It seems like an amazing technology. But there are so many variables and things around it that are fascinating to me. So this Satoshi Nakamoto comes out with Bitcoin seemingly out of nowhere. It blows up and it has a critical mass of users to prove the concept of blockchain technology as an alternative monetary system and a processing system, right? Fascinating, amazing technology. I think it's Elon Musk. Anyway, point I want to make is, it seems to me that just as the CBDC is going to be blockchain backed to exact control, I mean, this is the same technology, but used for the opposite purpose of the technology that's behind Bitcoin. It seems to me that in order for a CBDC to be effective, and when I mean effective in the sense that the New World Order can use it to control all transactions and all humanity, that it cannot exist in the context of Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency alternatives. So if they want to enact and actually institute a CBDC, aren't they going to have to like really cram down and criminalize Bitcoin and other alternative currencies because everybody would just choose the free currency?
So these are great questions. So I have a degree from MIT in engineering, and then I went straight to the banking world, and I was there for 15 years. I worked in New York, Chicago, London in the derivatives business. So I actually understand a lot about where technology intersects with finance. And 3 years ago on London Real, we went heavy into blockchain. I actually bought my first Bitcoin in 2013.
Hell yeah. You still got it?
No, I lost it on some mobile wall. So we went heavy in the space. And what I like about the space is you have people that believe in freedom because they believe that property ownership, in this case, digital
private property ownership,
is really important. Now, I'm good friends with Tim Kennedy. He's a Green Beret, lives right around here, and he believes in guns. And when I had him on my show, he said, Brian, I like my gun because that means I can protect my property. Without property, you have no freedom. That's an important point.
Yeah.
Same now, in this world, your digital property is just as important as your property. A crypto is a digital asset. If you can protect
that. Just because it's not tangible doesn't mean it's not real.
Correct. And if you have it, you have freedom. Because if a government can take away my money, seize my bank account, or print more fiat currency, it can control me. But if they can't get my Bitcoin in custody, ultimately, I can tell them where to go because they don't own me. That's why when we talk about these universal basic incomes and all these scenarios, I look at people like they must be out of their minds because the money will control you. Bitcoin's interesting. You mentioned Satoshi Nakamoto. I've had people that come on my show that said it was created by the CIA.
It's probably you.
Created by Elon. The point is that now it doesn't matter because you're 13, 14 years in. It's the biggest supercomputer in the world. It's actually 1,500 times bigger than the biggest supercomputer, the Bitcoin network. It's worth $1.5 trillion. And if you
are the nodes diversified enough, or is China bought too many of them?
It is actually considered fully decentralized. Wow. And it's never been taken down. Your banking system is down. Google's been down. Facebook's been down. It's never been.
Or they just simply ban you from PayPal and banking.
Yeah, and they do that. And again, look at the Canadian trucker strike. You show up to a protest, you get your bank account seized. They can't take away your self-custody crypto. So just to finally answer your question, if you are allowed to hold crypto, and it's very hard to ban Bitcoin. Every time China bans Bitcoin, it goes up in price. CBDCs are a whole nother world. If we allow those to happen, and again, they're going to find all these benefits. Get your tax return in minutes with CBDCs, you know, get these benefits. But if they can censor your money at a moment's notice, if they can look and say, no, your tax return can't be used to buy that. Oh, you donated that. We're going to restrict your freedoms. That's super dangerous. And that's why I'm pro Bitcoin. And I'm even pro financial institutions like BlackRock promoting Bitcoin, because they're promoting an instrument of freedom.
Right. Well, being pro what they promote is not the same thing as being pro those organizations too. It's, yes. You have to separate the art from the artist. And, you know, as you were talking, it made me think of John Locke famously wrote Second Treatise of Government. I don't want to get too academic and boring, but that document, that philosophy is really the foundation and the basis of our entire economic system and our entire nation, its constitution, its principles, as they were set up in the late 18th century, early 19th century. And what he basically said in that book, it's like 80 pages long, it's a little dry because it was written hundreds of years ago, but what he basically said was philosophically, we are created by God, and since we are created by God, our bodies are our own private property, and our minds are our own private property, and our will is our own private property. And therefore, anything that we do with our minds, our body, and our will is by extension our private property, because we did it with that which was given us exclusively by God. And that is the whole entire basis for the concept of inalienable rights, that they're not given to you by governments. They may be recognized or not recognized by governments, but these rights aren't given to you by governments. They're given to you by your creator. And that's why it's so important that there is some sort of a deistic philosophy of a people, because as soon as a people doesn't believe in God, then there is no philosophical argument for rights anymore. Everything else is just politics. I don't know where I was going with that from a question standpoint. What does that make you think?
Yeah, I just got some chills up my spine, because I literally had a huge player in the blockchain space. His name is Yatsu, big in the metaverse space, who literally gave me the same quote in my studio 2 months ago. And it was him making the same point that you made, that it's our God-given human right to own what we create from our hands. And that now includes the digital things that we create. And without property ownership, you don't have capitalism and you don't have freedoms. And I think a lot of kids these days, and I say that in a nice way, my stepdaughter's going to university right now, they don't understand these fundamental foundations of why we have the beliefs we do. And I'm really glad you read things like Locke, because they can throw around, you know, Marxism and communism and wear pictures of Che, but they don't realize what they're saying. And you have to look deeply, like, what do we truly believe? Do you believe that what I create, I own? That's fundamental. But it's interesting that you just quoted back to me the same line that was mentioned from someone who's in this digital space, asserting that if we don't control these things, we're going to lose out. And I'll say one more thing.
Sure.
In the world of Web 2, as we call it, Facebook, YouTube, Amazon, we call it digital colonialism. We've given away our data, and now they sell it back to us, just like the British Empire used to do to the governments of Africa and India. We need to take back our rights and say, this is our data. When you own your data, you have your freedoms. When you give it away and someone else steals it from you, they have your freedoms. And that's what happened to me with YouTube. They owned my data, and they took it away like that. With Web3, I will own the data. I will own my digital assets, and then no one can take it away. So it's actually extremely relevant right now, this ownership concept that we're talking about.
You know, you brought something up that really inspires this question. So you're not the only person who's been censored on YouTube. And even those of us who still have YouTube channels, if we post, they reach no one for whatever reason, especially if they're about controversial content. Even if you have hundreds of thousands or millions of subscribers now, it is really difficult to get views. I mean, I have on my YouTube channel, which I haven't even posted on since I started working here, really, I've got close to 30,000 subscribers. I think if I post a video, it might get 70 views, you know, which is bizarre. You'd think it would get like a couple thousand, at least 10% of my subscribers. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, how were you able to recover from the censorship of YouTube? I mean, this is the behemoth in the room. This is the monopoly of video content, video broadcasting, if you want to talk about monopolies. How were you able, since you didn't own your data, to bounce back and create your own platform in a meaningful way so that you had an audience that mattered enough to fund your operation and to get your word out in a meaningful way? How did you recover from that?
So first of all, you make a great point about YouTube, and there's a short piece in the film where we talk about the way that YouTube controls creators. What they do first is, if you're a bad boy or a bad girl, is they demonetize you.
Right.
So they take away your money. Most YouTubers, and I've been down to the headquarters back in the day, they live on YouTube revenues. We never did. We always found other ways to make money. And so that usually will get you back in step. If that doesn't get you to start behaving, they then take out your search, so your views drop. So now no one's watching your video, and every creator lives to be watched. And so if that doesn't get the effect, then the next one will. If that doesn't, then they start to take them down. And then, of course, you get content strikes. And if you continue to misbehave, they take down your channel. That works for 99.9% of the people out there. And here's the beautiful thing, Chase, is people start to self-censor.
Yeah.
But you don't even know you're doing it, but you know you shouldn't say the C word, right? Or you shouldn't say
the C word?
COVID word or the vaccine word.
I was thinking of a different one.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so during those times, people would use these fake words or they'd spell it backwards. And so you start... Yeah. And people did this socially. You start not talking about things that has ramifications. That's sure. Dangerous in itself. But then there's the final level where they'll just completely make an example of you. So we tried to walk a fine line of keeping our YouTube channel on and keeping our viewers engaged and then also pushing them to the Digital Freedom Platform.
Okay.
That worked great until September of last year when they decided just to end everything for us.
Do you think it was because they caught on to what you were doing? They see a lot of bounce out traffic.
I mean, they didn't like the trailer for this movie, that's for sure.
Is that when it came out, September?
Yeah, it was the day that we dropped the trailer. They dropped all of our channels.
Oh, so they didn't just censor the trailer. They just said, that's it, your channels are gone.
Yeah, I have the emails. Your channel has been deleted. Do not bother appealing. And from everyone I've spoke to behind the scenes...
Did they say why?
Medical misinformation.
Did the trailers even mention the...
I think David Icke says there is no COVID-19 at the
end.
That's what he says. And so that's what happened to us. No appeals. I've been told from people behind the scenes that they really don't like us.
Did you have any strikes?
We had one strike.
So they're supposed to give you three.
Well, in the movie, it's interesting because they threatened me on a video phone call. They said, well, you don't have to have three strikes. We can deplatform you at any moment.
It's unprecedented, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just terrorizing me. They did it to Icke when they took his channel down in May.
So... remind everybody where they can find you and tell the audience a little bit about what type of content to expect on your platform in addition to just the We Will Not Be Silenced film, which obviously we're pushing today. We're really promoting it. We believe in it and we're excited about it. We're going to be airing it. But what is your platform all about, just for the sake of the audience understanding what they're going to expect when they visit?
Yeah, definitely. So the movie streams here in about an hour. It'll be at Real Alex Jones, also be on our Twitter feed at London Real TV. Website is londonreal.tv/movie is going to have everything there. We continue to broadcast, and there's a point at the end of the movie where I say, we will not be silenced, we will not be censored, and we will not be stopped. And if you need inspiration, all you have to do is look at InfoWars and Alex Jones. I mean, he was deplatformed in 18, and as he told me later, he got bigger. And so we continue to publish across any platform possible. We use guerrilla tactics to get our messages out there. These days, I will talk to people that want to talk about vaccines, that want to talk about crypto, that want to talk about the war in Ukraine, that want to talk about anything, diabetes and their solutions, anything that I think is interesting. And a lot of those things aren't popular with these digital platforms. But we just continue to having these conversations. I can't stop and I won't stop. And so we push ahead and things are good.
Well, Brian, we've got about 2 minutes left before the end of the Alex Jones show today. What thoughts would you like to leave with the audience? Final thoughts. The floor is yours.
You know, censorship and cancellation, it always happens to the weirdo. It always happens to that person over there on the fringe until it happens to you. And that's my story. You know, I was living a normal life. I was broadcasting and podcasting. I was putting out videos that literally change people's lives and save people's lives. I was applauded for this. And then one day when I decided to have David Icke on my show and ask questions about what was going on during the pandemic, we were deplatformed and, of course, later banned and censored and nearly ruined. And so I want everyone to know that this can happen to you. And if we are not vigilant about protecting our right to free speech, then we're going to lose everything. And it can be taken away so quickly. And they are actively trying to do it right now. And right now, everything you watch and do is censored. This is important information, and it's being used for the agenda of someone else. And we need to be aware of that. So think about how they control you. They use fear. They try to divide us. They try to use anger. When they're doing that, you can't think correctly. Try to find a way. Look deep into your heart. Try to think about what's really right, your rights, your ownership rights, your freedom of speech. If we can't protect our freedom, we have no future, not only in this country, in the world. I'm pro-human, just like Elon. I'm on Team Human. I want us to win, but it's going to require all of us. So please watch this film, share it with others, and take an active part in your community.
Well, Brian Rose, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the Alex Jones Show. Make sure you check him out, LondonReal.tv, at LondonRealTV, and at Brian B. Rose. His film, We Will Not Be Silenced, airs in an hour basically everywhere that we are here at InfoWars, as well as the places that I just mentioned to you. It is a shocking insight into the Orwellian world of online censorship. Make sure you stay tuned, folks. It's now more important than ever that we have freedom of speech so we can tell the truth in the face of the war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.